At the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 30 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 30 and some clouds as well. The wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 20, so bundle up if you're heading out to the bus stop this morning. That is a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. Stay tuned. Now it's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather around 6:30. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Liz Brown, and I want to remind you that Tuesday, April 4th, is Election Day all over our region. In the city of St. Louis, we have a critically important school board race, and there is also a charter change that would make it harder to recall your alder people. In University City, there's an important mayoral race, as well as aldermen and school board races. And there are important school board races in Hazelwood and in Riverview Gardens. We have seen in St. Louis what happens when the wrong choices are made on a school board. So get involved. Volunteer to work on campaigns. Call your neighbors and let them know who to support. And if you can, take off Election Day and work the polls. And if you are unable to vote on Election Day, call your election board and find out how to vote absentee. And finally, remember, vote on Election Day, April 4th. The future of our children and the future of our community depends on
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me understand. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me understand. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
Is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Revolution in the air, tell me, brother.
Good morning. Oops. Oops. There it is. Kicking it, hanging with your homie, feeling comfortable, all excited, all swolled up. You know, when you get comfortable, you know, like, you know, you take your shoes off. Unbutton your pants. Get all comfortable and things happen that, you know, normally happen within the privacy of your own personal space. Ooh, got comfortable. Kicking it with the homies and whoops.
Coon.
Oops. Oops. Woo, help me with this. Help me with this. You're fired. Haven't been there long enough to get a parking space yet. Haven't been there long enough. I tell you to clean your desk out, but we haven't given you a desk yet. You know, I mean, the order for your business card hasn't been sent out yet. They haven't been sent. They're still trying to figure out how to spell your name. But it happens. You're sitting back, kicking it with your homies. You feel like, I feel the vibe of this place. I feel the vibe of the folks that are around me. Oh, yeah. Coon. Oops. Oops. And I would say record time. Got up to go to the bathroom, come back, and they said, keep heading for the door. We'll take a break. I'm saying it's going to be a long break. We're going to take a break now. It's going to be a long break. Whoo, a local talk show host called Condoleezza Rice a coon on the air, and 15, 20 minutes later, he gone. He gone. And the discussion, aside from the humor part of it, the discussion should be had of, what would have happened if it hadn't been Condoleezza Rice, George Bush's wife, don't you know, that he was referring to. What would have happened? Would it have been a more acceptable, how do you slip into coon? How do you do that? I mean, it seems like your brake should be on. It shouldn't be there to come out your mouth. I can't see slipping into that word. I can't see slipping into that word. That's not, because in order to get to that word, you have to be on a certain road. And the road traveled. The road traveled. So, the fact of the matter is, you can't. The fact of the matter is, you can't say that word. You can't say that word. You can't slip into it. You can't trip into it. You can't. You can't. And the fact of the matter is that if you do these things, there are going to be repercussions. There are going to be repercussions for it. There are going to be repercussions for it. And as the manager of the radio station said, I know what I heard. It was reprehensible. It was reprehensible. And the fact of the matter is, it's so interesting. My question is, what would have happened had this not been Condoleezza Rice? Because it's not just a racial thing, it's a partisan thing as well. It's a partisan thing as well. It's hard to slip into that. It's hard to slip into that. .454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning. Could I talk about something else, but I'd like to answer your question also?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't think anything would have happened if it hadn't have been Condoleezza Rice. And I hear that someone called the NAACP,
mm-hmm.
and then they got involved.
What did the NAACP do?
They talked to the manager at the station.
When did that happen? It couldn't have happened that quickly.
Well, you'd be surprised.
I don't know. Well, I know our NAACP, so I'm curious to see how fast they moved on anything.
And it's just amazing how they can move so fast on that when there's so many other issues that they don't even take up.
I would need verification of that.
Well, I heard the head of the NAACP on the radio talking about it.
Uh-huh. I understand after the fact. I'm talking about immediately.
Immediately, yes.
Okay, I would be very surprised if they moved that quickly on it.
Well, it's amazing how quickly people can move on things they want to move on. I'm talking about the station that fired him.
Mm-hmm.
He was fired almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard much worse come out of some of these radios.
You know, what was interesting is right before that comment, somebody was calling Hillary Clinton abroad.
I know.
You know, right before that. And that, it's fascinating. It is absolutely fascinating.
I wanted to talk about the brilliant thing you say. It's not about the crime, it's those who stand accused of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
And as brilliant as those words are, they repeat so many other things you say and so many other comments you make, but I've never heard that repeated. But I want to talk about this Debbie LaFave, who was a child predator because she's convicted. I mean, she was charged with sexually molesting a 14-year-old boy. And the thing I'm talking about is all charges were dropped. Do you hear me? All charges were dropped. And this is the way I look at it, this is just the first time she's been caught. But
I wonder if all charges were brought because the boy didn't want to testify.
That's what they're saying. But, you know, she was charged. She had taken this boy into another state and molested him. And that time she got, I think, a house arrest.
Well,
3-year house arrest.
And again, I'm wondering if it's because the family didn't want the boy brought through all of that.
Yeah, that. But I thought that even if sometimes I've heard it said that even the family don't want something.
Oh, I understand, but the family may have been very persuasive.
And then the justice system could, they could. It seemed like they could disregard what the family wanted and prosecute her
And I'm agreeing with you. They could have, but they don't have to. They could. They could have ignored it, or they could have gone along with it.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, it's
I got to go, Christy.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Yes, as far as the firing,
mm-hmm.
I know exactly why it was so quick. It's William DeWitt, Bush's buddy.
Oh.
He's on President Bush's foreign, President's foreign advisory.
So it has to do with the politics more than the word, you think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And two of the other Cardinal owners that own, you know, they own the station, or at least 50%, they were given ambassadorships.
It had to do with politics more than the word.
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, don't forget, this is the Cardinals, too.
Right.
And they don't want any bad press for that, either.
Right, that's true also.
Okay. Thanks, Don.
All right, thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Well, good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I'm outstanding.
Well, I ain't going to talk long on this subject. I got a couple of things. That young lady that got off for that little young kid, even before the trial started, they said her looks probably would help her defense because she was a young, beautiful white girl. I heard that back a few weeks ago. And on Dave Lenihan, maybe, you know, what's the name of that pill? You sleepwalk, you sleep dry, maybe make you sleep talk. Maybe he had taken one of those sleeping pills.
Okay.
When he came on there. So, you know, it's I wonder where he learned that, around his breakfast table, eating Cheerios, because I'm quite sure this man never been coon hunting. So where did he learn all of this crap? Out there, people, you are living in a city, St. Louis, Missouri, where racism is live and well.
Thanks for your call. All right, now. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call. D.
Hi, Liz.
All right.
Liz, I don't know who's putting these signs up over here where I live. I live over here North St. Louis near O'Fallon Park. But these signs with Jim Bruford and Darnetta Klinsky, I'm telling you, Liz, I'm getting ready to take all this junk up. I think this is an insult.
Well, of course it is.
And
wait a minute. Of course you can take the signs up because they're on public property and they're not supposed to be supposed to be there. And one of the things that I've seen that I've been very, very excited about is that people have been taking those signs up because the people that put them down have so much disrespect for the community, they just put them anywhere that they want to.
Yeah.
And if you notice, you don't see any of those signs in anybody's front yard. I see Peter Downs signs in people's yards. I see Donna Jones' signs in people's yards. But the only place you see the Clinksdale Shamel or the Buford Slade signs are on public property.
Yeah.
So pull them up. They're not supposed to be there.
And where do they get the Peter Downs and the Donna Jones?
There's a phone number that you can call. You can call the Carpenters Union. And he has an office there. They both have an office. The Carpenters Union.
Yeah, and I was informed by someone, I don't know if it's true or not, that supposedly is it the church, the Black Church Coalition or whatever it is that's supposed to be backing Darnetta Klinsky. I mean, Liz, this is a woman that has destroyed the school system.
Absolutely.
And Jim Bruford was brought in by Francis Lee. Don't that tell you something?
It tells you everything. It tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
All
okay.
Right, now, thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Ron.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I want to comment quickly on this Lenihan thing. It doesn't surprise me. I listened to the evening show, and it's no secret what he was about, but I believe it was politics because I can remember another evening host, I mean, that same hour, and when Irene was running for mayor, they did some very cruel things, I thought, and I called in and commented on it, and that person stayed on for a long time, and nothing was done about it. And I felt what they did was a lot worse than what this Condoleezza Rice thing, so I think it was mainly politics.
I think the caller that called in a few calls back talking about who are the connective people at that station, and if there is this Republican moneyed connection to this station, of course it had to do with politics. Of course it had hugely to do with politics. This is Condoleezza Rice. This
right.
is Condoleezza Rice, and there has to be retribution for that.
Right, exactly, and I'm not upset that he's gone. Believe me, I'm happy, but I just think people need to move more quickly on all things, and not just because it was this political thing. Because what they did when Irene was running for mayor, I thought was despicable, and I think a lot of people should have been let go.
All
right.
Right
on the spot.
Thank All you. Right. Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free log distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me.
I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. So take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
I'll keep your head up.
'Cause a new day will come. And love to the sun, even with the darkness, shall.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Refer Yourself Real Estate Rebates. Southbound 141 at Fiedler, look for an accident. Investigation work is in the right lane and it is blocked. Eastbound 44 at Lewis and Merrimack River Bridge, look for no problems report there. Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom, look for Andalette is on the move. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to Marshall Road, look for everything to be running smoothly. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson all the way into Lindbergh looks good. Eastbound 70 from Zumbel to 270, everything is flowing freely this hour. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, look for very heavy volume going on. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street on the PSB, it is slow. Westbound 64 before the 5570 split, look for no problems report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing on in looks good. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems report there. Manchester Meadows at 100, look for traffic signals to be on red flash. And northbound 61 at 70, look for bridge maintenance operations, having that reduced to one lane at this time. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Refer Yourself Real Estate Rebates. In a market to buy a home, get up to 1% of the sale price back at closing. Go to buysellcashback.com to find out more. Get paid to buy your next home. Visit buysellcashback.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday, for today, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-40s. This evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the lower 40s. Friday evening, mostly cloudy till early morning, becoming partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Then moving on to Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 30 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 30 degrees as well, both under partly cloudy skies. The wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 25, so bundle up if you're headed out to the bus stop. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your news traffic and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. The recent hailstorm may have caused damage to your roof. But beware. When these types of events happen, people called storm chasers appear out of the blue and offer to do the work, but then disappear with your money and only half do the job. Phil Person of Phil Person Roofing reminds you he will be here to serve you long after the storm chasers have come and gone. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs, and replaces from 200 to 400 roofs a year. Phil Person Roofing, in business 16 years, 361-7127. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Donna Jones, and your children's academic achievement will come first if you elect me to the St. Louis Board of Education. I'll work to lower class sizes, reopen alternative schools, and restore the 25 accreditation points that were squandered by the current board. I'll work to reduce top administrator salaries, stop the extension of the school day, and provide bus service to all students. Make schools lead safe and act on the Kerner Report. Most of all, I'll work to include parents, students, and teachers as part of the policy-making process. As a former parent liaison at Dewey International Study School, I know the importance of keeping communication lines open between families and school, because today's students have the potential to be tomorrow's leader. On Tuesday, April 4th, join me in putting students' achievement first. Vote for me, Donna Jones, for the St. Louis Board of Education.
Paid for by the committee to elect Donna Jones to the Board of Education, Connie Davis, Treasurer.
Get a jump on your spring home work plans. Visit the St. Clair Home Garden and Recreation Show, Spring Edition, Friday through Sunday, March 24th through 26th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Discover many unique vendors, including home and garden exhibitors, representatives and product agents from manufacturers and distributors around the country. Purchase the work of artists and crafters to enhance your home, garden, or recreational lifestyle. Bring the kids on Saturday, March 25th, when the Easter Bunny arrives at St. Clair Square. Stop at Center Court and register for the opportunity to win one of dozens of prizes to be given away over the weekend. That's the St. Clair Home, Garden, and Recreation Show, Spring Edition, Friday through Sunday, March 24 through 26, in Fairview Heights, hosted by St. Clair Square, sponsored in part by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Shelley Welsh will make a great mayor of University City. I'm Dave, and I've seen Shelley's powerful performance on City Council. We've all seen Shelley Welsh fight to use taxpayer money wisely to build us a great rec center. We've all seen how Shelley Welsh can enhance our future as she organized the highly effective Advisory Board for Economic Progress. We've all seen Shelley Welsh unite citizens across borders of color, gender, economy, while her opponents make an ugly effort to divide us. Now we all need to make Shelley Welsh mayor.
This ad has been paid for by Shelley Welsh for Mayor, Julie Neiman, Treasurer.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Baby, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. Why? 77920 WGNU. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I heard that Lion Snake Sean Hannity talk about the Fairness Doctrine being the end of talk radio. What exactly is the Fairness Doctrine?
I don't know what he's referring to. I don't know. Okay, I don't know what he's referring to.
Okay, and also about Helen Thomas. I was trying to find a book, Bush on the Couch.
Uh-huh.
Is it possible for Dr. Frank, is it, to come back and analyze that discussion that she had with Bush?
You know, we probably need to keep Dr. Justin Frank on retainer. I don't know, but that's a good question. Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
I want you to analyze what he said then. I want you to analyze. Yeah, we'd have to keep him on retainer. Folks, these are amazing times. These are absolutely amazing times. On the one hand, you know, we live at a time that we live in a time where it's challenging to get people to admit to what they do is wrong. I mean, we have, Steve and D.C. have been brought back, and they said horrific racist things. They have said horrific racist things. And what, there's a, 5-year cooling off period? And then you get to slip people back into town, and they get to, you know, then they get to start from the beginning again? So when you put what Dave Lenihan said into the context of Steve in D.C. and this town, it's not about the fact that it was a racist word. It's about the it ain't about the crime. It's about who commits the crime. Now, the fact of the matter is that I believe, I don't have the smoking gun. I don't have the videotape of this, but I believe it to be true nevertheless. Had this not been Condoleezza Rice, we wouldn't be sitting here having this discussion about someone calling a person of African descent a coon on the air. We wouldn't be having this discussion, I submit to you. Steve and D.C. are back in town. You know, so and is it at the same station, Howard? No? Okay, it's at a different station. But nevertheless, the energy for that is here. So, you know, it's about the politics of it. It's about the politics of this. Is it tolerable? Apparently same. Is it tolerable? Apparently so. You know, and I don't want anybody to think that, you know, that there is any joy or pleasure in the assessment of this. But it is kind of funny. You know, it is kind of funny. Baby boy was there for a minute and oops, done. You can't take your resume anywhere after this. You can't. You said this about Condoleezza Rice, a Republican. You said this about her. You can write all the letters of apology that you want to. You can send all of the dozens of roses that you want to. You can say you're number one all day long. You can play back tapes of all the positive things that you said. But the bottom line is it came out your mouth. And it's a word that is not supposed to be in your mouth. And that's not mouth, M-O-U-T-H. That's M-O-U-F, mouth. It came out your mouth. And there are repercussions for that. There should be. There are repercussions in this case. There are repercussions in this case. You know, and the question is whether or not the management should be given credit for this. I'm hesitant to give a attaboy or you go. Or a support thing. I'm cautious about giving them credit because I don't know their intent in doing this. It was right. It was appropriate. I don't know. I guess that what is the if a tree falls in the forest, does anybody hear it? Assessment of this. If they did the right thing for the wrong reason, do you still get the same kind of attaboy? You know what I mean? So I'm going to hold off on the attaboys. The right thing was done. I don't know the reason for it. 454-0400 is my phone. Oops, there it is. Oops, there it is. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake up call. Ouch.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good morning.
I had a question for you. I was listening to a radio program, excuse me, a television program, and they were talking about the war, civil war, I think it is, in Sudan. And she made the comment that there was a conflict between Africans and Arab Africans. And I know there was also mention of, like, slave trade in that area as a part of the old issue. And I've had kind of difficulty trying to find information. I just wanted to know if you knew much about that situation and maybe you can help me direct me find more information about what's going on over there.
Well, I went to Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Darfur to look at the situation firsthand. And I don't know why people are. The people started the discussion with the Janjaweed, making this thing about there were these black Arabs that were going around and doing this. They've backed up off of that because there wasn't any evidence of that. And it was odd because when I was in Sudan, everybody was my color.
Okay, so this is a continuation of that same scale. It was about a year ago you were there?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Okay,
I
remember that.
Yeah, about 2 years
ago. Because
she
made this, she said Africans, and then she said Arab African, so I was kind of confused there.
Yeah, well, that's because she don't know.
Okay.
That's because she don't know. And what she was trying to say is black Arabs is what she was trying to say.
Okay. As opposed to Arabs that a lot of people look at, like, say, for instance, in Iraq and Iran, they look at those or Saudi Arabia as being kind of more lighter-skinned Arab.
Wait a minute. Is Egypt in Africa?
Yes, it is.
So did she call Arabs from Egypt African Arabs, too?
No, she did. Oh,
there you go. It's color.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, ma'am.
454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me.
Love makes me treat you the way that I do. Cheap baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy that true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Detroit. Even though the sales of SUVs have dropped like a rock, General Motors has decided to raise production of its largest sport utility vehicles. They are a large market for the automaker and were responsible for about one-fourth of its total sales in 2005. The increase in SUVs will amount to about an extra 12,000 units and will include the Tahoe, the Yukon, and the Escalade among the biggest gas guzzlers. General Motors lost $10 billion last year overall. And Dateline Anchorage. Word from the North Slope of Alaska that an oil pipeline rupture has sent hundreds of thousands of gallons of crude oil into the Arctic Ocean for about a week now. Earlier this month, British Petroleum reported that a pipeline break was minor and that an oily pond was found below the pipeline, which is mounted above the ground. But cleanup crews say this appears to be the second biggest spill, right behind the Exxon Valdez accident back in 1989. The company that runs the pipeline, Exploration Alaska, has been fined over $1 million because of a poor safety record and has failed to keep the pipeline inspected for problems. Now, BP has been told it cannot restart the pipeline until all of it has been inspected and fixed. Employees say the company has cut corners by reducing inspections in order to save money, and now it's come down to this. A company spokesman says, according to a report in September of last year, an inspection did indicate there was some corrosion, but it was at an acceptable level that did not threaten the integrity of the line. The cleanup of this latest spill is said to be going slowly because of the bitter winter weather conditions. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? That's right. You get your big screen televisions, you get your washers, you get your dryers, you get everything that you need, and you get the trifecta of your shopping experience. Great prices, great locations, and a great service. So don't go out to the malls. say my name, Liz Brown, and when you go and talk to Jerome Williams, tell him I told you to.
I'm Stella Hughes, asking you to vote for Shelley Welch on April 4th if you are tired of the Good Old Boy Network in University City. Vote for Shelley Welch if you want to be included when changes are being made in the city that affect you and your neighborhood. If you want positive progress for University City, vote for Shelley Welch. Vote for Shelley Welch if you agree that City Hall has become complacent. It is time for change in University City. On April 4th, vote for Shelley Welch.
Paid for by Shelley Welch for Mayor, Julie Neiman, Treasurer.
After two very successful tours through the U.S. and Canada, the Flying Dutchman André Rieu and his fabulous Johann Strauss Orchestra are back for a series of unforgettable and romantic concerts. Enjoy an evening filled with delightful opera, light opera, and musical melodies with classical music and compelling waltzes, with funny and touching moments, but above all, with lots of romance. This will be a night to always remember, so be there.
André Rieu, in concert, April 26th at Savas Center. Tickets available at all Ticketmaster outlets, online at Ticketmaster.com, or call 314-241-1888.
Don't miss this. André Rieu, the man who brings classics to the world. Get your tickets soon and let André Rieu, the world-famous King of Waltz, take you on a musical journey like never before.
My name is Peter Downs. In the last 3 years, we've seen St. Louis schools lose 25 accreditation points.
Peter Downs has been a public schools parent for 18 years and has two children currently in St. Louis public schools.
Violence in schools has soared and the dropout rate has shot up.
As publisher and editor of the St. Louis Schools Watch, Peter Downs has been an advocate for all children.
It is time to turn our schools around.
Peter Downs' reporting helped prod the management of St. Louis Public Schools to clean up lead contamination at Mann School.
Vote for me on April 4th. Let's build a school board that wants to educate every child. Let's build a school board that will work with parents and the community to build the kind of schools that St. Louisans want.
As a school board member, Peter Downs will be able to do even more.
Together, we can make a difference. Vote for Peter Downs for school board.
Peter Downs is a parent's choice for school board.
My name is Peter Downs. Vote for me on April 4th.
Paid for by the committee to elect Peter Downs, Kathy Steyer, Treasurer.
Why listen to Brand X Radio when you can listen to something brand new? Join the conversation by calling 314-454-0400 or toll free from outside the local calling area at 1-877-920-WGNU. For those of you who may be alphabetically challenged, that's 1-877-920-9468. Stop rushing around the radio dial. Leave it here and call in and talk on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, Mr. Bush, now he's out stomping and tromping around trying to reconvince the American people about his objective.
It's like a man who has cheated on his wife, a man who is a serial cheater on his wife, telling her, baby, 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 I'll never do it again. Come on, you can talk to your blue in the face. I ain't hearing it. I've seen what you've done. I know what you've done. I ain't hearing it.
Liz, you stole my thunder.
I'm sorry. There's a rule. No thunder stealing. I'm sorry.
I say, dog, if I was a woman dating and the guy keep making promises and saying he's got this and got that.
You keep catching them in lies.
You keep catching them in lies. And then he's still trying to convince you that the things that he told you that wasn't a lie.
Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?
I heard that.
All right, now.
You have a good one.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And we have a wonderful opportunity for you, y'all. A wonderful opportunity for you. It's spring is coming. You want to be able to wear what you want to wear for spring. Here's a wonderful opportunity. There's a brand new place that's going to help you lose the weight you need. It's called Get Down Mama. That's gotta exercise to drop off the weight. Naturally, Get Down Mama. For $100, you get unlimited 8 weeks of fitness class. You get Latin, salsa, African style dance, belly dance, no more flabby abs, total fitness boot camps, and the Pilates stretches, and a half an hour massage, and a half an hour personal training session for $100. And here's the cool part. If you lose the most inches during that 8 week period, you will win $500 cash. How's that for an incentive? You need to give him a call at 524-6162. You must register. In order to be eligible, you must register by March 31st. 524-6162. 524-6162. Get down, mama. You can win $500 cash if you do. 524-6162. Give him a call. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. This is a news story that is all over the nation. I'm looking at something from out of Kansas here, I believe. The firing of Dave Linehan for calling Condoleezza Rice a coon. And he said that he was trying to use the word coup. Within minutes of him doing that, listeners started calling the station. A few minutes after that, general manager Tim Dorsey went on the air and said that Linehan would not be back. And the quote is, there were excuses made for it, that it was a slip of a tongue. There's no excuse for what he said. He has been let go, and he will not be back at KTRS. And I want all the listeners to know that what he said does not reflect on the feelings of anybody at this radio station, and the fact it's just the opposite. Huh. Dorsey said it was unacceptable, reprehensible, and unforgivable. What is interesting is the NAACP's weigh in on this. NAACP President Harold Crumpton called Dorsey at the station for an explanation and learned that Linehan had been fired. He accepted Dorsey's apology and, of course, commended him. What is interesting, though, of course, coming in at the end of it, it's fascinating that it's interesting that Harold Crumpton crawled in on this issue when coming to the defense of Condoleezza Rice. But coming to the defense of all of those black babies in the St. Louis public schools, the same man, the same organization, the same institution, is what are those three letters? Missing in action. Oh, yeah, he's concerned about Condoleezza Rice, but what about the tens of thousands of African babies in our school? The tens of thousands of African babies in our schools. Where are you at on that? Where you at on the school board race? Oh, that's right. You're holding the hands of those that are destroying the school district. That's right. I forgot. You're right. That's right. That's right. And when black people went up to Jefferson City to talk about eminent domain, Harold Crumpton turns to the white folks he's standing next to and says, "Oh, we don't do that. That's not how we roll. I'm not with them." Alfred.
Yes. I think the guy getting a raw deal, anybody can make a mistake pronouncing a word or use the wrong word. And I agree with you about the NAACP.
Wait a minute.
No.
Okay, We have one minute. He didn't say car instead of chair.
He said a word that shouldn't be. It's, as one caller brilliantly, with a brilliant observation, it's not like Dave Lenihan does a lot of coon hunting. It's not a word that is in his vocabulary. He said it. He needs to take responsibility for it. And there are consequences to your actions. There must be. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. I'll be back with Eye on the Loop after the break.
I will never say the progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air help me, brothers.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. They're going home.
Our hearts are filled with joy this morning as we learn that Harmeet Singh Sudan, Jim Loney, and Norman Kember have been safely released in Baghdad.
The head of the Christian Peacemaker team, Douglas Pritchard, the four aid workers kidnapped in Iraq last year, worked for the organization. ABC's Dan Harris has more on their rescue.
Officials say this was a U.S.-led rescue mission that also involved British and Iraqi forces and was in the planning stages for weeks. According to an Iraqi official, the operation took place in a town called Mashhada, which is 20 miles north of Baghdad.
The three hostages were seen recently on a videotape broadcast by Arab-language TV channel Al Jazeera. The American who was kidnapped with them, Tom Fox, was not on that tape. His body was found not long after that. It's been another violent day in Iraq, possibly in reaction to the rescue. There are reports of at least three explosions in the last 24 hours and at least 30 people killed. Have you heard the president say enough about Iraq? Well, he's not done talking about it. He has another speech planned for next week. White House spokesman Dan Bartlett says Mr. Bush is looking at the big picture.
And that is to make sure that there's an Iraqi government that can stand up, defend itself, and be an ally in the war on terror. And we are making progress despite this violence.
Mr. Bush spoke to military families yesterday in West Virginia. The trial of admitted al-Qaeda conspirator Zakarias Moussaoui resumes this morning in suburban Washington. The only person tried in connection with the 9/11 attacks could get life in prison or the death penalty. In Milwaukee, the search is on for two missing boys. 11-year-old Purvis Parker and 12-year-old Quadravian Henning were last seen on Sunday afternoon. Henning's father, Quentin, is hoping for the best.
I don't have time to worry or to cry in a negative aspect because I want to stay positive. I want to stay focused.
Police dive teams are checking out sewers and a nearby lagoon. This is ABC News.
It's a fact. The more allergy symptoms you have, the less likely your allergy medicines can help you. But Tylenol Allergy is different. It's the allergy medicine with the pure pain relief of Tylenol. And it relieves more symptoms than even the leading allergy prescription. Stop. Think. Tylenol Allergy. Take only as directed.
I'm a check-and-go store manager. Providing extra cash for your needs is our business. Almost anyone can use some extra cash now and then. At Check & Go, you can get the cash you need, and we'll hold your personal check until payday. Contact us, and we'll explain everything and make it easy for you.
Call 1-800-561-CASH to find a Check & Go near you, or get a cash advance online at checkandgo.com.
Cash advance is subject to certain terms and conditions. See website for details. Ohio license 750310. Rhode Island license check casher.
It's finally payday for the family of a man who penned one of the world's most recognized songs. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey has the story.
It has been sung by more than 150 artists, Daria, from doo-wop to folk to ballad. It's had a role in at least 15 movies, including The Lion King. But this is the original, composed and sung by the late Solomon Linda in 1939. Now, in South Africa, Linda's impoverished daughters have won 25% of all past and future royalties of what came to be known as The Lion Sleeps Tonight, one of the best-known songs in the world. Daria?
ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey. And by the way, if you're wondering, it's Imoe, that's lion, not Wimoway, as many of us have learned to sing it. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ransmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a Cahokia man is dead after an industrial accident in Sauget. 27-year-old J.D. Kroom died yesterday morning when he was sucked into a fiber treatment machine at the MidAmerica Fiber Company. Kroom had reportedly worked at the plant for less than a month. Foul play is not suspected. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is investigating. A Metro East man is accused of running a meth lab in his home. Ronald Seagraves is charged with several felony counts, including methamphetamine manufacturing, after an alleged meth lab was discovered at his home in the 8500 block of Steel Lane in Troy Monday afternoon. Sergeant Gary Burns of the Madison County Sheriff's Department says he credits the officers for shutting down this alleged drug activity.
If it weren't for our very alert deputies who responded to this seemingly normal call, none of this would have come to fruition.
Officers made the discovery while investigating a domestic abuse complaint at Seagraves' home. Seagraves' girlfriend told police that he had physically abused her and that he was involved in drug activity. St. Louis City voters have another chance today to try the city's new touchscreen voting machines. A hands-on demonstration will be held today from 10 to 2 at Harris Stowe State University. Voters will be able to ask questions about the machines and may also use the machines with a demonstration ballot. The new equipment will make its debut in next month's general municipal election. Finally this hour, the Siteman Cancer Center at Barnes Jewish Hospital is part of a nationwide alliance. The center has been accepted into the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, which now includes 20 centers. The designation means that Siteman researchers will have access to the work being done at the network's other centers. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Air National Guard. Job description, guarding America and defending freedom. The Air National Guard is looking for someone just like you. Great training and college benefits available. Call 800-TOGO-ANG. That's 800-TOGO-ANG. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Toyota Certified Used Vehicles. Southbound 141 at Fiedler, there's an accident investigation work going on. The right lane is closed. Eastbound 44 from 141 to 270, no problems to report. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 40 from Spady all the way into Lindbergh. Look for a very heavy volume this morning. Westbound 270 between Bell Fountain and Washington Elizabeth looks good. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for stop-and-go traffic this hour. Westbound 64 before the 5570 split looks slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing is on the move. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for no problems to report. Eastbound 30 at Highway W. Look for an accident. Left lane is blocked. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Toyota Certified Used Vehicles. Check out great financing rates available now on a great selection of Toyota Certified Used Vehicles. See your local Toyota dealer or go to toyota.com/certified for details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Mostly cloudy day, high in the mid-40s. This evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the lower 40s. Friday evening, mostly cloudy till early morning, becoming partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Then on Saturday, partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 30 degrees. Under cloudy conditions, Lambert Field is reporting 31 in clouds. Wind chills outside still makes it feel like it's about 25, so use your coat and bundle up if you're heading out to the bus stop. Stay tuned now for more of the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith, as well as your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution.
you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never tell you the progress that you made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us.
This hour's program is sponsored by the committee to elect Donna Jones, Connie Davis, treasurer.
This is a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting. Hand-picked school board members. Up-and-coming elections. Recalls. Battles.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Eye on the Loo. Irene J. Smith, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience.
Good morning, how are you?
I am good. Better today than yesterday.
All right now. All right. Better today than yesterday. That's a good thing. And this morning, what are we going to be talking about, Irene J. Smith?
Ooh, school board election. We got somebody special in the studio this morning.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Who do we have with us this morning?
We got the people's champ.
That's right.
Donna Jones.
Donna Jones, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
You know, I was telling Joe Garcia, my producer, I said, okay, after Donna wins this election, we're going to have her come over here and do some voiceovers because I'm scared of you. You have an amazing voice. I love your spot.
Thank you.
You have an amazing, amazing voice.
Thank you.
So let's talk about this school board race. And start by telling us, who is Donna Jones?
Well, good morning to everyone. First, I'd like to say Donna Jones is a parent. I have four kids in the St. Louis Public Schools. I have two kids that are students at Gateway High School, one student at Soldan High School. I also have a first grader at Dewey Elementary School.
Mm.
I have two kids that are in universities here located in the state of Missouri, Cape Girardeau, and University of Missouri, St. Louis. I have a daughter that recently graduated from Mizzou, and they're all Gateway
Go
High
head
School
on.
Graduates.
Go head on.
Yeah. So education is very important in our home. I mean, at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
And by any means necessary, education, because I know that's the way to a brighter future.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And a public education.
All
right.
And that's what's always been our lifeline in the black community. So I think that's why it's very, very important to me.
And I love the fact that you are not just a parent, but an amazing parent. That's an amazing, amazing feat. How important is it to have a parent on the school board?
I think it's very, very important. We keep hearing the calls. We've been hearing the call even more for the past 3 years. Where are the parents? Where are the parents? Where are the parents in North St. Louis? Where are here the parents in North St. Louis are? I have been talking to many parents. I'm a parent liaison. I'm sorry, not a parent liaison, but I do lead education for the St. Louis Lead Prevention Coalition during the day. So I'm in about 350 homes every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I get an opportunity to talk to parents.
Oh, how neat.
And they talk talk to me and they tell me exactly how they feel.
And what are some of the things that they tell you?
Well, a lot of them are very, very disappointed about the opportunities that their children have. I see a lot of kids that are at home that might have gotten expelled from school, or they might be in a situation where they cannot go back to school, and there has been no follow-through, and when they call up to the school, they're not getting any results.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just very displeased because mm-hmm. their students are coming out and they just cannot afford to send them on to alternative educational places. So a lot of the parents are, they don't know what to do. They mm-hmm. don't know where to go, who to talk to, and they're feeling rather insulted mm-hmm. because the people that they're talking to are ignoring them.
So why did you decide that you were, okay, you're a parent. I understand the vested part of this. I understand you. This is personal for you because you have babies in the district.
Yes.
But a lot of people have babies in the district.
That's good.
And a lot of everybody, it is personal for them, but they're not doing what you're doing. Why did you decide to step up and do this?
I'm feeling it from my heart. I love my community. There's no place that I'd rather live than in North St. Louis. I've been a lifelong St. Louisan, and I've seen too many things going on. I see our beautiful children dying at a fast rate. I mm-hmm. see our kids standing on the corners. I see that they have nowhere to go. I see they do not have extracurricular activities. And I'm saddened by that because this is a beautiful world out here, and I think every child should have that opportunity to experience that.
Mm.
And I think that is very, very important. And I think those of us who have a voice to speak for those kids should do that. And it's time out for sitting back and waiting on someone else to do it. And we as parents, I feel an obligation to my neighbors to stand up and speak if I can speak for those who cannot speak. Because if I don't care about Ms. Johnson's, my next door neighbor's child, then what good am I? I mean, I need to care about that, because if that child is not getting a good education, then our whole community suffers. That could be a child that grows up with a good education, that's a good person in the community, that's a taxpayer, that's happy and living a fruitful life. And that's what our children deserve. And I'm seeing so many kids that are so unhappy, young people, teenagers, saying we don't have anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to give them a voice. We have people that have been on the board that live on the other side of town. And, I mean, that's fine, but we need somebody to really stand up and say, hey, let's be fair about this. North St. Louis children are very beautiful and important, and we need to do something about this.
You all do understand why you have to go out and vote for Donna Jones on Election Day.
You know what? I'm sitting here.
Okay. You know, just not going.
I am. I mean, this is exactly the type of person that we need on the board. And I'm looking at, we have spread out in front of us right now all of these pieces of literature that have gone not to North St. Louis, but have all gone to the Central Corridor or to South St. Louis. And I'm looking at this literature, and one in particular that's particularly offensive, one that says about what Darnetta Klingstell and what Jim Buford will do, and it talks about how they are going to reach out and touch parents. They are about pushing the issues of parents. And Donna, when you go to the school board meetings, because I know you go to the school board meetings, I've seen you at the school board meetings, do you get the sense, or do you, or not even get the sense, do you see the school board trying to reach out and touch the parents? You're a parent, and you're a parent of four babies in the St. Louis public schools. Have you ever gotten a letter from Darnetta Klingstell, a letter from the school board, for instance, letting you know that they want to extend the school day? Have they ever reached out and touched you with four babies in the district?
No, I have not gotten an invitation that made me feel welcome to express my opinion or to talk about the real issues. When I go to a school board meeting, I feel like the community is shut out, that the decisions have already been made behind closed doors, and that things are not going to change, and that coming down there was just a wasted trip. Many times I've come down to the school board meeting. I'll remind the community, there was one time that I did come down, and I came in and I was dressed in funeral garb. And I wanted to represent the ideal that this is coming to a school board meeting and trying to talk with these people was like going to a funeral. It's like the death of our community, because whatever we were saying was falling on deaf ears. And I was actually crying tears under that funeral garb, because
I'm going through the neighborhoods and I'm seeing what's going on, the teddy bears tied up on the street, our children in trouble, and these people are sitting up here making decisions and they don't even seem to care. It's just like they don't even see what's going on, or it's not important to them, and I know that's not right. It's just not right. So,
Donna, what do you feel about the number of closures, school closures?
Oh, that was just too much. That really got us going. To walk through my community and see all those schools closed, why can't we have neighborhood schools? Our kids deserve the opportunity to walk to school if they have to, especially with them talking about transportation. Mm. And so many of our children are in neighborhoods where there's no police patrol, adequate police patrol, to protect our children. And our children are afraid.
And people, and crime happens where they know that the cops are not going to be
there.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And those schools, the majority of the schools that were closed were in North St. Louis.
14 of them, yes. And they're lying dormant, closed.
And eyesores.
Eyesores in the community.
And heartbreak, because I know every time I drive by the closed schools in my community, it's just like, I can't even drive by your school. I can't drive, I can't drive by.
Oh, it's open right now.
Yeah, but I can't drive by because I get ticked off, and I know that they closed that school and what they took away from the community in closing that school. Mm-hmm. You have four children in this school district, Donna. Talk to us about the food that your babies are fed in that school, those schools.
I have to tell you, the comments that I'm getting back from my children is that I have one son, the youngest one, 7, and you can hardly, it's hard to make a small child lie about something. Mm-hmm. Anytime he doesn't eat, he's like a Mikey, you know, the commercial.
Uh-huh.
If he doesn't eat, something's wrong.
Okay.
He loves to eat, and he will eat. So he comes home and he says, Mom, that food was really nasty. I'm just starving. Every time he gets off the bus, he's just starving. I mean, that might be a regular thing for a lot of kids, but he tells me he doesn't like the food.
So he doesn't eat it.
He doesn't eat it, and he's throwing a lot of his food away. And I remember as a parent liaison and just walking through the schools, a lot of the kids and the teachers are telling me that the kids are throwing the food away. The processed food is really not a good idea.
And we're spending tens of millions of dollars with this contract with Sodexo. So, if you become a member, when you become a school board member, what are you going to do about that contract with Sodexo?
I'd like to see it gone forever, out into the atmosphere, disappear, poof. That's where it needs to go. We need to bring back live cafeteria workers. Mm-hmm. We need people in the school who are preparing meals. And we also need to extend the lunch hour, because a lot of the children that I'm talking to, and I'm talking to many, they don't have time to eat during the lunch hour. The lunch lines are so very long that they don't have time to get in there. And when they do, they have 10 minutes basically to gobble their food down and get back to the classroom setting. And in the morning, a lot of our children that are bused from North St. Louis to South St. Louis, like mine, are don't have enough time to eat their breakfast in the morning, so they're missing out on that morning meal also. So a lot of times what I'm seeing, especially when I go into the homes, a lot of these homes, there's no food there. So the only meal that a lot of our kids are going to get are the meals that they receive at school. So I think that should be a very good meal.
Speaking of the food, the food service building is located in the first ward, and that building is still available. It's still there and in the position where it could be reopened. Is that something that you would pursue?
Absolutely. I mean, we need to kick it into full gear, and we need to bring back our workers, the people in our community, because when you hire people in the community, you're supporting our children also, because their parents, their aunts, uncles, they're related to the people who are, to the kids that are in the school. So many of our jobs were outsourced to other people. Sodexo, Airmark, they've outsourced our jobs, and I think we really need to bring them back because people need to work. And when you take a dollar from our workers here, you take a dollar from a child in school.
I've been told that the latest effort at outsourcing is now they're going to be outsourcing the security workers in our schools. What do you think when you hear something like that? What would you do if you were on the school board to if that issue was brought up as an issue to discuss? Where would you be on that?
I'd have to immediately stand up on that, because that is a very dangerous thing. I think we need people, if they're going to work on our security force, that they need to be able to relate to our children, to talk to our children, because the first thing that when dealing with children and young people, you need to be able to talk to them. That's the most important thing. And to bring outsiders in that are just there to provide security, I think they're just going to be, it's going to be a one-sided thing.
that they're just going to have security on their mind and not have our children's interests at heart. So that's very, very, that's critical.
I think that's good. That's very good. We talked about the outsourcing, and I know, Donna, you were involved with us at the with the community mm-hmm. all of those months. And we're talking about someone who was there.
Absolutely.
You know, not just at the 11th hour, said, I'm going to run for the school board, but
and
was actually.
And not someone that got involved and then didn't do anything. They just went there to be the showboat and to be there but not do anything. You were there. You were working. You were working.
You have to.
What made you come out to participate in that? Why did you do that?
I was hurt. I was hurt because I knew that all the changes that were coming about might diminish the opportunity for my children and my neighbor's children to have a good education. I was looking at the schools in my neighborhood. They were already in a dilapidated state. Just say, for instance, Herzog. I have to say my son did attend Herzog. And the children can't even play on the playground. It's so dangerous. They got a good principal there, but she's saying, and a lot of people are saying, they cannot allow those children to run freely.
Why?
And because the asphalt is so cracked up, if the children run, they might fall in a hole or they might trip over a crack on the playground. And I'll tell you what they have for playground equipment, nothing. They have I see the children sliding down a slab of concrete after school is over, and that's their sliding board. So I thought, no, this is not, that's not right. That's not right.
Mm.
Donna, you're involved with lead abatement.
Yes, I am.
And that's one of the things that has troubled the St. Louis Public Schools.
Yes.
What would you do to address the issue, particularly the outside fencing, which has a lot of it? What would you do to address that?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that that's one of the reasons why I'm in my present career, because my children were lead poisoned early in their life. And I remember my son, I took a picture of him on the Dewey fence. And Dewey's fence was one of the fences that was initially addressed when they started to talk about lead. And he had a very high lead level as a young child. He had to be hospitalized for a month with osteomyelitis. Something like that, and it was a bone disease, and he's still suffering now, even though he's 20 years old.
Mm.
So it stays in your bones for up to 30 years, but what I'd like to see is a real all-out effort, a real team that knows about lead abatement come in and do the job properly, because if the job is not done properly, you can contaminate the school, the children inside, and the surrounding communities. Those issues need to be addressed immediately, because what's going to happen is all of those buildings were built before 1978. Any structure built before 1978, once the wood has been painted with lead paint, is there for the life of the wood. They're going to be opening up those windows. They're going to be putting fans in those windows. They're going to be putting air conditioner units in those windows. They're going to be blowing that lead dust back on the children. And it only takes a small amount to contaminate a child. And we have some of the symptoms that they would experience are tiredness, sleep problems, dizziness, irritability, nervousness, headaches, difficulty in concentrating, depression, forgetfulness, hyperactivity, numbness, wrist or foot drop, weakness, clumsiness, joint and muscle pain, vomiting, loss of appetite, stomach ache, constipation, metal taste in mouth, infertility, and learning problems.
Mm.
So does all that sound familiar? We have all of that going on with our kids now.
And we have a school board that is not addressing any of that.
Addressing it.
Oh, that's not fair. We have $17 million that was recently allocated for lead abatement, but nothing for children over the age of 6. And that's something that we need to address immediately. We really do, because lots of parents are approaching me when I go into the homes, out in the community, at events, and they're saying, my baby that's 8, my baby that's 10, my baby that's 12 is having a lot of problems concentrating in school, the behavior issues, and they're being addressed wrongly. The children are being treated as if there's really, you know, they're just a behavior problem,
mm-hmm.
that there is no reason why this child should be acting like this other than they're just not a good kid.
Mm. Let me get you a caller or two here. Taylor, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, about the new voting machines. Is anyone responsible for making sure people have a better understanding about them before they get there?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
And I don't have an answer for that. You're talking about the Diebold voting machines. There's going to be a lot of confusion at the poll because I haven't seen one commercial. I haven't been contacted by the Board of Elections. I of all people, should be getting something from the Board of Elections about giving information out here to people how to use these new, these are brand new voting
machines.
Brand new voting machines. Yes. And we have a Board of Elections that hasn't done squat to inform or educate or train people to use these machines.
It don't screw up a lot of votes.
Yes, it is.
Taylor, it might be advisable. I know that they are giving some demonstrations. They ought to be out in the community giving the demonstrations, but it's my understanding that you can contact the Board of Elections and you can go through a demonstration. But
that's if you know that they're going
know,
to be
if
new,
you know, right,
new
if
machines.
You know that they're going to be new machines. And all of this is part of the conspiracy to control our voting efforts. I was looking at the polling sites yesterday, and a lot of polling sites where elderly are located, they've close those polling sites, move them miles away. So there is an effort to just disenfranchise the poor, the elderly, and those who have transportation problems in terms of voting.
Mm. And Donna, if people want to get involved in your campaign, where can they go? Who can they call? How can they get involved in your campaign? And do you need people to help you with your campaign?
Absolutely. They can contact the Teachers Union, Local 420. And they can also contact me at 398-8745.
Say that number again slowly, please.
It's 398-8745. We need poll workers. So if you're interested in working in your area, that would be a wonderful thing. We really need you. We also need lots of young people because we're talking about an advisory board, and we'd like those young people to become involved because we do have future leaders, and we want to see you out there.
And I want to talk more about this advisory board when we get back, well, your plans for an advisory board. I have two signs in my yard because I made you put two signs in my yard. Where can people get some signs?
Well, we still have a few left at the Teachers Union Hall. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have a few.
And do you have a phone number there or an address there for the Teachers Union? How about if we get that when we come back?
Okay.
Okay? Yeah. This is, what is this? This is I on the Loop.
And the I is on you.
There you go.
Get out on Election Day.
That's right. And Donna, keep talking. I'm going to be out of a job. You got a great voice.
I'm telling
you.
You
have a great voice.
Ooh, you catch the melody of that voice.
There you go. Donna Jones. We love Donna Jones. We'll be back. Stay with us.
The following program is sponsored by the committee to elect Donna Jones, Connie Davis Treasurer.
I'm coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the WWE. Southbound 141 at Fiedler, there's an accident investigation work going on. The right lane is blocked. Eastbound 44 from Bowles 270 looks good. Northbound 55 from Lindbergh all the way into Virginia. No problems to report there. Northbound 270 at 44 and Big Bend, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 at 367 and Graham Hanley, look for traffic to be lighter than normal. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, look for slow traffic to report. Southbound 270 at McKelvey and Dorset, very heavy volume going on this hour. Westbound 5570 from Exchange on the PSB, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at Vowell Avenue all the way into 5570 split, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing is on the move. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the ramps to the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic. Lee May Ferry at Will Avenue, there's a report of a minor incident involving a school bus, and it has been moved to a parking lot, so use caution as you roll up to that area. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by WWE. Don't miss the ultimate WWE fan experience. WrestleMania Fan Access Tour is coming this Friday through Sunday at the Rec Room and the Alton Square in Alton Square Mall. Superstars, prizes, and more for hours. Visit WrestleMania.com for more details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-40s today. This evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the lower 40s. And Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under cloudy conditions, we have 30 degrees. The wind chill out there makes it feel like it's 25. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Seniors looking for something to do? Try the San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center, 5341 Emerson, 383-4863. Table tennis, exercise, free hot lunch. Call Yvonne Henderson, 383-4863, San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Donna Jones, and your children's academic achievement will come first if you elect me to the St. Louis Board of Education. I'll work to lower class sizes, reopen alternative schools, and restore the 25 accreditation points that were squandered by the current board. I'll work to reduce top administrator salaries, stop the extension of the school day, and provide bus service to all students. Make schools lead safe and act on the Kerner Report. Most of all, I'll work to include parents, students, and teachers as part of the policy-making process. As a former parent liaison at Dewey International Study School, I know the importance of keeping communication lines open between families and school, because today's students have the potential to be tomorrow's leader. On Tuesday, April 4th, join me in putting students' achievement first. Vote for me, Donna Jones, for the St. Louis Board of Education.
Paid for by the committee to elect Donna Jones to the Board of Education, Connie Davis, Treasurer.
This is Liz Brown, and I want to remind you that Tuesday, April 4th is Election Day.
Listen, folks, here's a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. You want to lose weight? Call 524-6162. How does this work? An 8-week Lose the Inches Challenge. Okay, we're challenging you at Get Down, Mama. I'm talking about gotta exercise to drop off the weight naturally, Mama. Get down, Mama. Here's how it works. $100, you get 8 weeks. You get Latin salsa. You get African style dance. You get belly dance. You get no more flabby abs. You get Pilates. You get a half hour massage. You get a half hour personal training session. All for $100. And check this out. If you lose the most inches in that 8 week period, you get $500 cash. I said $500 cash. 524-6162. You must register by Friday the 31st to be eligible. So call. Get down, Mama. 524-6162. $500 is waiting for you. You know you want some outfits for the spring? Call 524. You want to be able to get in them too. 524-6162. Call Get Down, Mama, and get down.
This is Liz Brown, and I want to remind you that Tuesday, April 4th is Election Day all over our region. In the city of St. Louis, we have a critically important school board race, and there is also a charter change that would make it harder to recall your alder people. In University City, there's an important mayoral race, as well as aldermen and school board races. And there are important school board races in Hazelwood and in Riverview Gardens. We have seen in St. Louis what happens when the wrong choices are made on a school board. So get involved. Volunteer to work on campaigns. Call your neighbors and let them know who to support. And if you can, take off Election Day and work the polls. And if you are unable to vote on Election Day, call your election board and find out how to vote absentee. And finally, remember, vote on Election Day, April 4th. The future of our children and the future of our community depends upon
it. Hi, I'm Donna Jones, and your children's academic achievement will come first if you elect me to the St. Louis Board of Education. I'll work to lower class sizes, reopen alternative schools, and restore the 25 accreditation points that were squandered by the current boards. I'll work to reduce top administrator salaries,
stop the extension of the school day, and provide bus service to all students. Make schools lead safe and act on the Kerner Report. Most of all, I'll work to include parents, students, and teachers as part of the policy-making process. As a former parent liaison at Dewey International Study School, I know the importance of keeping communication lines open between families and school, because today's students have the potential to be tomorrow's leader. On Tuesday, April 4th, join me in putting students' achievement first. Vote for me, Donna Jones, for the St. Louis Board of Education.
Paid for by the committee to elect Donna Jones to the Board of Education, Connie Davis, treasurer.
Shelley Welsh will make a great mayor of University City. I'm Dave, and I've seen Shelley's powerful performance on City Council. We've all seen Shelley Welsh fight to use taxpayer money wisely to build us a great rec center. We've all seen how Shelley Welsh can enhance our future as she organized the highly effective Advisory Board for Economic Progress. We've all seen Shelley Welsh unite citizens across borders of color, gender, economy, while her opponents make an ugly effort to divide us. Now we all need to make Shelley Welsh mayor.
This ad has been paid for by Shelley Welsh for mayor, Julie Neiman, treasurer.
Seniors looking for something to do? Try the San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center, 5341 Emerson, 383-4863. Table tennis, exercise, free hot lunch. Call Yvonne Henderson, 383-4863, San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
This hour's program is sponsored by the committee to elect Donna Jones, Connie Davis, treasurer.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou, Eye on the Lou. I am here with Irene J. Smith. Irene J. Smith, what are we doing this morning?
We are talking with Donna Jones, our next member of the St. Louis Public School Board.
That's right. That's right. And before we get to Donna, I want to get to let me not get to the calls right now. We still have a few more coming in. Donna, let's talk about this liaison board that you wanted to put together.
Advisory board. I would like to see two children from each grade level on the advisory board, and perhaps have an election at the beginning of the year so mm-hmm. children will become familiar with the election process.
Mm-hmm.
And then that we do take into consideration all the recommendations that they give to the school board, because I believe that it's very, very important that we listen to our children. If you want to stop a problem or you have a situation, you have to listen to people.
Yes, you do.
You have to listen to our children. You have to let them know that their opinions are very, very important. And I just don't want to see a board that's just for show. I want it to mean something and be meaningful to these children. We had one before,
mm-hmm.
and they dissolved that board. Gave the kids a couple $1,000 and sent them on their merry way.
I remember that. I remember that at the very beginning of the Roberti siege, that they brought the babies in, paid mm-hmm. them off, and said, go home and don't say nothing to us anymore.
Right. Those were the children who came out and protested.
That's right. That's right.
And those were the children who were very, very concerned. But I'm hoping that a lot of those kids who were involved on that board are still interested.
Mm-hmm. Let me get to some of our callers here. Charmaine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Donna, and how are
Good
you,
morning.
Liz?
Wonderful.
I have a quick question. I am going to vote for Donna, and I'm going to vote for Peter Downs.
Thank you.
But other members of the board, other than those terrible four people, I don't know who else to vote for. And so that's a problem that I'm having. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, who else are you wanting to see on the board? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
And Charmaine, there are only two people to vote for. I mean, you only get two selections.
Only two selections?
Only two selections. So if you're voting for Peter and you're voting for Donna, your work there is done.
Well, then what happens to the rest of them? Are they still going to be on the board?
No, it's just like any other election. The people with the highest number of votes, those will be the people on the board.
I think what she's asking, there are only two terms that are up.
Right.
Just the term that Buford is filling and the term and Klinksdale's term.
And
those only two terms that are up at this time.
And the strategy is, Charmaine, is that if we get Buford off and if we get Darnetta Klinksdale-Shamel off, that means that they won't have that block of four votes.
Right.
So they can't get vote everything in the way that they want to vote in. They will no longer have a majority vote on the board.
Okay, now I get it. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is our fax. Mary, you have a question for Donna Jones?
Yes, I told Miss. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Mrs. Jones, I tell my friends your name and Danetta Clinscale's name is so familiar. First names, I mean. So I usually address you as saying, don't forget to vote for Miss Jones, Miss Donna Jones, because it's very important. Your names are so similar. Your first names are.
Oh, now, you mean the fact that they live in the
D? How could I get a yard sign for you? I notice you don't have an address. A telephone number on your poster, and I don't see very many.
Well, my campaign didn't have a lot of money to start, and I did purchase some yard signs. We do have a few left at the Teachers Union Hall, and on the signs there is a number that you can call on my yard signs. And also on my flyers, there's a number where you may call to contact us.
And the number is?
And the number is 398-8745, or you may also reach me at 383-3449.
One more time.
The number where you may reach me is 383-3449, or you may call me at 398-8745.
And Irene, we've been talking about this race and about how critical this race is. I don't know. I don't think you can overstate what will happen if the board remains in the hands of Francis Slay and his slayer and his crew.
You know, you can't overstate the fact that public education as we know it will be destroyed. The St. Louis Public Schools will be formulate a charter district, and basically those that have will have a decent school. Those that don't, won't.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely critical that we get out on Election Day, April the 4th, and elect Donna and Peter Downs.
And we had a discussion over the weekend. We worked on some things, and one of the things that happened in fact the announcement was made on my show,
exactly,
that Dennis McGlynn was stepping down out of this race.
Right, and I didn't want to leave the air today without thanking him. We put that call out last week,
mm-hmm,
over the air. You know, we said, look, you know, it is absolutely critical that we defeat the Slay forces. And in order to do that, the individuals that our community has rallied around, they represent the best interests of our children, Donna Jones, Peter Downs.
Period dot.
Period dot. You know, the other candidates may have some of them may have some good attributes.
And, no, they don't.
Okay.
No, they don't.
But, and you may know them, but the issue is this, and that is us regaining control of our schools. And that is why this election is so critical.
It's not a plaything. It is not something to meddle in. It is not something to muck about in, because the numbers matter. We're going to have to be dealing with diebold voting machines. We're going to have to be dealing with brand new ways to vote. We're going to have to be dealing with reduced polling places. We're going to have to be dealing with a low voter turnout because this is a midterm election.
Exactly.
All of these things are going into this anyway. So we don't need any confusion. We don't need any misdirection. The only choices here are Donna Jones
and
Peter
Downs. Those are the only selections. Just like in the situation with your boy Slay, a Republican, which, you know, really Slay is a closet Republican.
And the closet door is cracked open.
Right, and it's cracked open. And then you have Darnetta Clinksdale. I mean, they are moving forth with a Republican agenda
for our
schools.
They're endorsing a Republican
right.
to run for the school board.
And I want the listening audience to pay close attention to Democratic leadership that is endorsing
a Republican.
James Buford,
That's
Jim
right.
Buford.
That's
okay,
right.
And Donna's talking about Lid and the work that she's doing Lid. Talk about how the Urban League squandered Lid prevention dollars that
squandered
were meant to benefit our community.
And we have to take a break. We want to hold that thought, but isn't that ironic? Donna has the expertise in it, and Jim Buford squandered it, and he's a Republican. We're taking a break, folks. This is Eye on the Lou. We'll be back. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This hour's program has been sponsored by the Committee to Elect Donna Jones, Connie Davis, Treasurer.
Seniors looking for something to do? Try the San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center, 5341 Emerson, 383-4863. Table tennis, exercise, free hot lunch. Call Yvonne Henderson, 383-4863, San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. The U.S. military says it's looking into a report that American troops conducted a My Lai-style massacre north of Baghdad. Last week in the town of Ishaq, Iraq police say that American soldiers raided a house and shot to death 11 people, five of them children. This latest incident comes after word that the Marine Corps created an incident last November in the town of Haditha where 15 civilians died in a firefight that stemmed from a bomb attack on a patrol. In that case, the military said originally that a Marine and the 15 civilians died when a roadside bomb blew up a Humvee. But Time magazine found several witnesses who disagreed with that version, and the military was forced to investigate. They subsequently found out that the bomb did kill the Marine, but then the patrol claimed there was small arms fire coming from three nearby houses. They burst into the first house and shot and killed two old people and several adults who were shielding children. Then they broke down the door of a second house and threw a grenade inside, killing eight people, four of which were children. They went to the third house and found four young men inside who were searched and then shot to death. A total of 24 bodies were taken to the town hospital by the Marines, who said they had been killed by shrapnel from the bombs. But doctors said it was obvious they all died from being shot, most at close range. The investigation concluded that it was a case of collateral damage, and the relatives of the dead were paid $2,500 each. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Listen, folks. You look, $100. $100 will get you this. Unlimited 8 weeks of fitness classes. Get down, mama. Latin salsa, African style dance, belly dance, no more flabby abs. Total fitness boot camp, strength training, Pilates stretches. 524-6162. Where is this? Get down, mama. Gotta exercise to drop off the weight naturally. Mama, all you gotta do is pay $100 for 8 weeks worth of this. And if you lose the most inches in that 8 week period, you will win $500. Spring is coming. You want to look good. Why don't you get down, mama? 524-6162. 524-6162. You must register by Friday, March 31st to be eligible. $100 may win you $500. It's worth the investment. 524-6162. Get down, mama.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Look, I like to shop. I like to shop, and it's the weekend, and that's the best time to shop. And when I shop, I want three things. I want the trifecta of shopping experience. I want great prices. I want great location. And I want great service. Where are you going to get that 3425 Union? That's right, Jerome Williams. You need to go into that Sears and get your washer, your dryer, your refrigerator, your stove, your DVD player, your everything that you need for your house, your tools, your lawnmowers. Get your trifecta of your shopping experience. You don't have to go to the mall because it's right here in your community. Get your shop on and get on over to Sears at 3425 Union. I'm Liz Brown. Tell them I told you to.
My name is Peter Downs. In the last 3 years, we've seen St. Louis schools lose 25 accreditation points.
Peter Downs has been a public schools parent for 18 years and has two children currently in St. Louis public schools.
Violence in schools has soared and the dropout rate has shot up.
As publisher and editor of the St. Louis Schools Watch, Peter Downs has been an advocate for all children.
It is time to turn our schools around.
Peter Downs reporting helped prod the management of St. Louis Public Schools to clean up lead contamination at Mann School.
Vote for me on April 4th. Let's build a school board that wants to educate every child. Let's build a school board that will work with parents and the community to build the kind of schools that St. Louisans want.
As a school board member, Peter Downs will be able to do even more.
Together, we can make a difference. Vote for Peter Downs for school board.
Peter Downs is a parent's choice for school board.
My name is Peter Downs. Vote for me on April 4th.
Paid for by the committee to elect Peter Downs, Kathy Steyer, treasurer.
I am Stella Hughes, asking you to vote for Shelley Welch on April 4th if you are tired of the good old boy network in University City. Vote for Shelley Welch if you want to be included when changes are being made in the city that affect you and your neighborhood. If you want positive progress for University City, vote for Shelley Welch. Vote for Shelley Welch if you agree that City Hall has become complacent. It is time for change in University City. On April 4th, vote for Shelley Welch.
Paid for by Shelley Welch for Mayor, Julie Neiman, Treasurer.
Seniors looking for something to do, try the San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center, 5341 Emerson, 383-4863. Table tennis, exercise, free hot lunch. Call Yvonne Henderson, 383-4863, San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
This hour is sponsored by the committee to elect Donna Jones, Connie Davis, treasurer.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Word on the Street. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. We're talking the most important election going on in the city of St. Louis. We're talking about the school board election. Irene, on the way out, we were making the comparison. You were making the comparison between Donna Jones's position and expertise and concern about lead poisoning and personal experience with lead poisoning. And it's just an interesting comparison that's out there because of Jim Buford Slay.
Woo, the Urban League wasted so much money. In fact, they lost the contract that they had with the city of St. Louis.
Because they didn't do jack.
Because they didn't do anything with the money. And, you know, people want to put, you know, Jim Buford up there. He's black. He's okay. He's our savior. You got to remember who controls him. George Bush and Francis Slay.
Ew, that's ugly. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to us. We're doing Eye on the Lou. Donna Jones, we have a couple more minutes left here. What do you want people to know about you when they go to the polls on April 4th? What should they know?
Well, I want them to know that you have someone in there that is going to fight. Fight. For you to have transparency in government, on the school board, that you're going to know what's going on, that I will make every effort to make sure that parents, teachers, students are involved, the community is very much involved, and that the policies that are put together are reflect what the community has in mind. Because I think that's very important that we start to do collaboratives out here in the community, because these are public funds, and the public has a right to get their dollars worth, and the time is past due that people have their own agenda downtown, and they want to put that in place over what the community needs. And I think that you're going to have a person that's going to listen to what you have to say, and to consider that, and to make sure that those ideals are presented to the board.
Is part of your agenda going to be when you get elected, undoing the damage that has been done since Roberti came into town?
Oh, absolutely. We've talked about children not being able to read. We need to reinstate all of those, I think it's 1,400 seats for preschool, because I know that a lot of the young ladies and families out here are very much in need of those seats. We talk about the reading level of our high school students. Those things are very important. I want to see all of those things brought back. Cafeteria, I think that we need to get rid of a lot of the contracts that we currently have, in particular with Sodexo and Aramark, because we lost a lot of jobs there that we could bring back. I'd like to see some of the unions come back in and do some work here within these schools to bring the schools back up to par. But I'd also like to say, and I know this is a dream perhaps right now, but we need some new schools. We need some new schools. Those schools are very dilapidated. Mm-hmm. And I think environment is very important. When we have our children sitting in old, dilapidated buildings where the stairs are falling, the windows are chipping and flaking, the bathrooms are nasty, then that's a very that works on the psyche. So those are some of the things that I'm going to be addressing immediately. And if I sit on that board, and when I sit on that board, you're going to know that you have someone that really cares and loves her community.
And I, just one more quick thing. I guess not. Time is good. We have the time coming up. So, Donna, please give your number out for people.
Okay. They may reach me at 398-8745. You may also reach me at 383-3449. Or you may also call the Teachers Union Hall for more information on where we're going to be. We're going to have a rally on the last Saturday. I believe it's going to be at the Carpenters Hall, and you can call for those more details. And you may also, if you are interested in donating, please contact the committee to elect Donna Jones to the Board of Education, P.O. Box 470-532. That's St. Louis, Missouri, 63147.
And they could also call that number for donations as well.
Yes, they can.
Number one
and
more time.
And we need poll workers.
Okay.
398-8745.
Need poll workers, poll workers, poll workers, poll workers.
Thank you.
All right.
And if you can't pay and you can't be off, then pay somebody else to work on the polls.
There you go. There you go. Thank you so much, Irene J. Smith. Back next week, Eye on the Lou. Donna right. Jones, let's rock and roll. We're going to do this.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome. I'll be back after the news. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This hour's segment has been sponsored by the committee to elect Donna Jones, Connie Davis, treasurer.
That not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. So they need a little medical attention, but for the most part, they're okay. And soon, three of four aid workers who were kidnapped in Iraq will be heading home. They were rescued in a joint U.S.-British operation. An American, however, who'd been kidnapped with them, was killed earlier this year. Claire Evans is with the Christian Peacemakers team.
We have gone through many periods of anxiety over the past months. As the time got longer, and especially after the sad news that Tom Fox had been killed, we just didn't know what to expect, but we have always maintained hope.
The three surviving hostages were seen recently on a videotape that was broadcast on Al Jazeera. At least 30 people are dead. More than 50 are hurt after a series of car bombs today in Iraq. They could be in reaction to the rescue. President Bush parks Air Force One today. He spent the past few days on the road pushing his Iraq war message. He'll be at it again next week, and again, he is calling on reporters to tell what the White House says is the whole story.
It's not to denigrate or to cast blame at the media, but it's to say, let's widen the lens a bit and show all of the picture of Iraq.
That's White House spokesman Dan Bartlett. The president makes White House history today.
There have been threats and compromise, but no vetoes in President Bush's 1,889 days in office. That bests the record of every other president, except for Thomas Jefferson, who 200 years ago served two terms, no vetoes.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. The trial of Zacharias Moussaoui resumes today in suburban Washington. The admitted al-Qaeda conspirator is the only person charged in the 9/11 attacks. He could get life in prison or the death penalty. A movie theater in Montana, in fact a chain of theaters, won't show an ad that's part of a new state campaign against meth use. The campaign's graphic, a billboard in it, shows a public toilet, a filthy one, with the message, no one thinks they'd lose their virginity here. Meth would change that. This is ABC News.
It's Toyota's premier event, going on now at your Toyota dealer. No matter what you're looking for, we've got your favorite Toyota models, including four doors, two doors, four-cylinder, V6, and V8 engines, the latest in hybrid technology, and much more. Toyota's premier event is on. This is your chance for huge savings now. But hurry, you won't want to miss this. Toyota. Moving forward.
Get to Kohl's two-day mega sale for 2 days of mega shopping, plus extra savings during power hours. Shop Friday from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. and Saturday 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Like 50% off all Mrs. Gloria Vanderbilt and Lee Capriz. Famous maker bras for only $13.99. And 50 to 60% off all men's suit separates, sport coats, and blazers. From Chaps, Access, and Apartment 9. plus an extra 15% off all kitchen electrics, already 10 to 50% off. Kohl's two-day mega sale this Friday and Saturday only. Kohl's, expect great things.
If you learn one thing early in this broadcasting business, it's that you are very, very careful about what you say when the mic is on, and a St. Louis talk show host has learned that lesson the hard way. Dave Lenihan was suggesting Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice would make a great NFL commissioner. He said the Secretary of State loves football, she's African-American, which would be kind of a coup. Well, at least that's what he intended to say. Instead, what came out was a racial slur.
I meant to say coup for the NFL, and it came out with that word.
Well, apparently an apology wasn't enough. Lenihan is now out of a job. The Philadelphia Inquirer today says a Camden, New Jersey high school principal has been helping expose cheating on state standardized tests. State says 6 months after he took the job, one of the principal's bosses gave him step-by-step instructions on how to cheat on the test. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a Cahokia man is dead after an industrial accident in Sauget. 27-year-old J.D. Kroom died yesterday morning when he was sucked into a fiber treatment machine at the MidAmerica Fiber Company. Kroom had reportedly worked at the plant for less than a month. Foul play is not suspected. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is investigating. A Metro East man is accused of running a meth lab in his home. Ronald Seagraves is charged with several felony counts, including methamphetamine manufacturing, after an alleged meth lab was discovered at his home in the 8500 block of Steel Lane in Troy Monday afternoon. Sergeant Gary Burns of the Madison County Sheriff's Department says he credits the officers for shutting down this alleged drug activity.
If it weren't for our very alert deputies who responded to this seemingly normal call, none of this would have come to fruition.
Officers made the discovery while investigating a domestic abuse complaint at Seagraves' home. Seagraves' girlfriend told police that he had physically abused her and that he was involved in drug activity. St. Louis City voters have another chance today to try the city's new touchscreen voting machines. A hands-on demonstration will be held today from 10 to 2 at Harris Stowe State University. Voters will be able to ask questions about the machines and may also use the machines with a demonstration ballot. The new equipment will make its debut in next month's general municipal election. Finally this hour, the Siteman Cancer Center at Barnes Jewish Hospital is part of a nationwide alliance. The center has been accepted into the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, which now includes 20 centers. The designation means that Siteman researchers will have access to the work being done at the network's other centers. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Air National Guard. Job description, guarding America and defending freedom. The Air National Guard is looking for someone just like you. Great training and college benefits available. Call 800-TOGO-ANG. That's 800-TOGO-ANG. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 44 between Antire and Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound 55 from Union to Arsenal, no problems report. Northbound 270 from 44 to Marshall, look for stop-and-go traffic this hour. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, look for that traffic to be easing. Westbound 70 is backed up from 270 all the way to the Earth City Expressway. Northbound 270 is jammed right in the right exit lanes from near Dorset all the way to 70. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the PSP, it is stop and go. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split, look for slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 all the way into Laclede's Landing looks good. And northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Those approaches are still stacked up a bit. Eastbound Page at Riddle in Overland, looking for the right lane closed to some water main work there. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through March, purchase four tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive three complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-40s. This evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the lower 40s. Friday evening, mostly cloudy till early morning, becoming partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Then on Saturday, partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 30 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is also reporting 31 in clouds. Wind chill outside still makes it feel like it's about 25, so if you're heading to the bus stop, dress warmly. Stay tuned now. It's time for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, or your, I'm sorry, we'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Young brothers. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how good is this?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget we are streamed at WGNU.net. Also, the Wake Up Call is archived every single day at WhiteRoseSociety.org. My number here again is 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, not a problem, revolution@LizBrown.com. And don't forget, I'm also iPodded at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. It's Thursday. It's the 8 o'clock hour. What we do here at this time every Thursday is Justice for Reggie. And joining me in the studio, as always, on Thursday mornings at 8 o'clock, Jamala Rogers. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Very good. Jamala, let us start where we always start. Let people know why Thursday at 8 o'clock is Justice for Reggie Thursday.
Liz, this is a case that will be coming up on its 15th anniversary.
Mm.
And in April 4th, almost 15 years ago, there was a happenstance that four young men were on the Chain of Rocks Bridge and encountered three other individuals who were related. And we're talking about Robin and Julie Carey and their cousin, Tom Cummings. And before the night was over, allegedly both sisters were overboard, as well as Tom Cummings. But Tom Cummings seemed to, unlike his cousins, survive an 80-foot drop in sub-zero temperatures.
And didn't get his hair wet.
And did not get his hair wet, received no injuries, and initially confessed to the crime. Later on, a flashlight was found at the scene that was connected with Antonio Richardson, and in about a matter of less than a week All four of those young men were brought in. Two were beat into confession, and that's Marlon Gray and Reggie Clemens. The young juvenile white guy by the name of Daniel Winfrey turned state's evidence against the other three, and Antonio Richardson also received the death penalty, as did Marlon and Reggie. What we have now is a situation where Marlon Gray has been executed, and we are fighting for the life of Reggie Clemens. And Liz, as you always say, this case exemplifies the worst of all elements that could come together in a death penalty case, or any case for that matter, where you have, you know, beaten confessions, you have prosecutorial misconduct, and in fact, it's really, when you look at the way that Nels Moss prosecuted the case, it's almost criminal in and of itself, and all he got was a slap on the wrist for what he had, the way that that case was prosecuted. And then you also have, you know, a very weak and almost criminal defense by the attorneys in the case, who were paid to defend Reginald Clemens and did so very poorly.
So all and the lawyer has subsequently been disbarred.
The lawyer has subsequently been disbarred. And so all of those elements came together in the cases of both Marlon and Reggie. And in this case, we really have only the clemency phase of it now, because for the most part, we're looking at all the legal claims for innocence having been exhausted. And so the attorneys for Reggie are still looking for ways in terms of trying to bring that piece back in court. But because we are in the clemency phase, the only intervention now is from the governor of Missouri, which is Matt Blunt. And so that's a sad state to be in, where you're going to have to depend on that man to intervene in terms of your life. But that's where we are. So we have to send a message loud and clear that, you know, the kind of state's supported murder that's going on in Missouri really does need to be stopped. And in fact, all over this country, it needs to be stopped. And so Reggie's case is part of a larger case for justifying the need for a moratorium and ultimately, hopefully, abolition of the death penalty altogether.
And so that's why we're here every Thursday. And one of the things, as you're talking about the perfect storm of issues that came together to result in Reginald Clemens ending up on death row and Marlon Gray being executed, one of the things that's part of that perfect storm is the issue of race. And when we talk about the death penalty, it's not as simple as the death penalty exists to punish people for the most heinous crimes. It's a governmental tool to punish people for the most egregious, awful, unforgivable crimes. It's not that simple, because we live in America and we know that the issue of race permeates through every discussion that we have of any kind of punishment that is going to be given out in this country. So we need to talk about the connection of violence to the death penalty. We need to talk about institutionalized violence, I should say. We need to talk about the connection of enslavement to the death penalty, and we need to talk about the connection of race to the death penalty. And to facilitate that conversation, we're going to have two guests to talk about that. One guest joining us in the studio this morning is John Simon, an attorney here in St. Louis. Good morning, John.
Good morning, ma'am.
And we also have joining us from Buffalo, Ohio, Dr. Michael Linza. He's a professor of sociology, criminology at Bluffton University in Bluffton, Ohio. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
You heard the comments that I made about the connection between it, that the death penalty is not as simple as the government deciding to punish somebody severely for egregious crimes. You have to look at this historically, don't you?
Well, yes, both historically, and I would agree with you that with controls, I think we've pretty well established that seriousness of offense is not a determining factor in who gets put to death. Other social factors are much more determinant. Who goes to prison? I mean, who gets to death? Who does not?
So can you talk to us about the connection of the decision of a society like ours to pursue punishment of the death penalty? How does race play into this?
There's a very long history when you look through it. We forget, though, we understand that slavery in the United States created a racial hierarchy that, unfortunately, the remnants are still with us today. But we forget that there's also a belief in violence to maintain the social order that kept slavery in place. And by that I mean that white citizens were by law given the right and even the moral requirement, because you'd be fined if you did not punish your slaves correctly, to use violence against slaves. And it did a couple of things, I would argue. One, it, in our very foundation of our social institutions, imprinted this belief in violence, particularly death penalty, to maintain our social order. And two, it created a hierarchy on what type of offenses based upon race would get the death penalty. Historically, we can see that it was incredibly rare and during slavery to waste public resources on black crime. However, if it was any offense of a black against a white, the most severe punishment you could bring was brought on to a defendant. And that holds up to this day when you examine how the death penalty operates. Also, in Missouri for itself, you know, Missouri was a slave state, but slavery was not in any way evenly distributed within the state. And my research looked at, part of what I looked at was how, at this present time, what was the relationship between slavery, lynchings, and the death penalty currently. And we can see almost identical overlapping of patterns. The old slave regions of Missouri had over 80% of all lynchings in Missouri. And it's also, to this day, greatly responsible for the most production of death penalty cases in Missouri.
So there's a connection.
Historically, certainly. I don't think it'd be very difficult to argue how we could have these patterns for any other reason.
And one of the phrases that you use that I find very intriguing and important to have a little broader discussion on, imprinting of violence. The fact that doing this leaves a mark and leaves a legacy. Is that what you're saying by imprinting?
Yes, I'm saying within our social institutions and our laws, within our religious beliefs, within our culture, slavery imprinted at the very onset of the American colonies the belief in the use of violence, and did not give this into the hands of just the state. After the end of slavery, every white citizen had the right to use violence against any slave.
And they were, by law, required to do so.
Required to do so, it could be fined. So it's not only that they saying it was okay, it's also saying that it was required to be a good citizen.
And so my question, Doctor, is that, okay, we have this legacy, this historical documented legacy of the imprinting of violence. From a sociological perspective, how does a society erase that imprinting? Isn't there something that a society has, some acts that society has to do to get rid of imprinting, or it remains?
Sure. First, you have to actively engage it, not hide it, which is what we presently do. Our history doesn't address it. It's not openly debated. We ignore these patterns as if they don't exist. And if you engage it in that, there's little hope that we could progress in beyond our beliefs in this. However, perhaps if we could have open dialogue and more understanding of the roots of our belief in violence and why there was so much more violence in old slave regions than there are in other parts of our nation. Mm-hmm. You know, it brings a lot of information to why we have the patterns we do, and perhaps a way of understanding what we need to change that.
And some of the other states that we see this connection with, you describe Missouri. What are some of the other states where we see this pattern?
Well, it's remarkable, really, once you look at it. When you look at all the prior slave states, that's including border states that didn't succeed as well, but if you look at all slave states in the United States, these are the only states, only continuous region in the United States, which every state has a death penalty.
Mm.
They are also responsible for 89% of all lynchings in the United States, and are currently responsible for 90% of all executions in the United States.
Mm.
It's not, we think about the death penalty, it's not nationwide in how it was used. There is actually a concentration of belief and use in death penalty that reflects slavery to this day.
Mm. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And John Simon, when you hear these statistics and you hear this connection between enslavement and the imprinting of violence and the connection to the states that had slavery and their enthusiasm and use and implementation of the death penalty, do you see that pattern as well?
Yes, ma'am. And it, one of the things that it leads me to believe is that, you know, we respect Governor Blunt. He was elected fair and square, and we think that he needs to stand up to the plate on this issue because the courts haven't.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways the courts have swept this under the rug, the way Professor Lenza referred to, is that in a U.S. Supreme Court decision called McCluskey versus Kemp, they said that proving statistical disparity in the infliction of the death penalty isn't enough. The fact that you can show that in your state a person is 100 times more likely to get the death penalty if he's an African American who is convicted of killing a white person as opposed to any other, falling into any other cell in that four-cell diagram, that just doesn't count. Justice Powell told a reporter after he left the Supreme Court that was the worst decision he had ever made. And I believe that Professor Lenz's PhD dissertation provides us a flanking attack against McCluskey versus Kemp.
How so?
McCluskey did not talk about the 13th Amendment,
mm-hmm.
the amendment repealing slavery, taking slavery off the table. Because of the tight historical fit between slavery and the death penalty, I have made the argument in Michael Taylor's case, as in others, that the death penalty as practiced in the state of Missouri doesn't just violate the 8th and 14th Amendments, but it also violates the 13th Amendment because it's a vestige of slavery. And one of the reasons why it's a vestige of slavery is that when we use the death penalty in Missouri and in the United States generally, it's a racial act. The United States is the only white country that has the death penalty. We really don't accept the death penalty as something we do to us. The death penalty is something we do to them. And, of course, there have to be some white faces on that quilt of people who've been executed in Missouri. So there are poor, disadvantaged whites who are executed, kind of like the young men who were young Southern men who were mown down in Pickett's Charge.
Mm-hmm.
The white people who were executed in Missouri, I should say white men, the last time Missouri has not executed a woman since the establishment of a statewide death penalty in 1937.
Mm-hmm.
There was one woman who was executed with her boyfriend in the two-seater gas chamber, but that was on behalf of the federal government. The white men who were executed in the state of Missouri are being executed to fill a quota so that anyone who is executed in the state of Missouri is executed because of the color of their skin.
I'm still reeling from what you said about that we're the only white country in the world that has the death penalty. I don't know that there's anything clearer than that. I hadn't thought about that.
We have it. We have it because of our legacy of slavery. Think about the countries that have the death penalty. Of course, the leader is Red China,
mm-hmm.
who our fathers fought in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
The second group of countries that have the death penalty are the less progressive Islamic countries.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you have a couple anomalies that are China and India. Japan and India. And Japan has the death penalty. They use it very sparingly. I think they probably use it the way that we, in theory, are mm-hmm. supposed to use it.
Mm-hmm.
India has it as well. But again, it's a footnote.
Also, when you think about it from that perspective, it goes back to the observation that you were making. In Japan, they're killing their own. So they're going to use it sparingly mm-hmm. because that could be their mother, their brother, their sister mm-hmm. in the United States. United States is killing them mm-hmm. And not killing their own. So there's no that you don't have to put any brakes on it.
Mm-hmm. And this is the tie between lynching and the death penalty. Professor Lenz's exceptionally powerful dissertation draws this three-step sequence between the presence and prevalence of slavery and of Southern slave culture in judicial circuits in Missouri, and the prevalence of lynching between 1865 and 1972, and the number of death sentences after 1972. And you might say, well, now wait a while, Mr. Simon. This guy got a fair trial. Well, now, let's assume the trial was fair. Let's assume for purposes of argument, mm-hmm. because there are seldom capital trials that do not have feet of clay.
Mm-hmm.
But let's assume the trial was fair and that it's not as if a bunch of guys broke into the jail and snatched a guy and took him out and strung him up from a bridge. The fact that it's still violence, even though people with white collars do it,
mm-hmm.
is a reflection of the fact that we don't really accept killing one another, if it's one of us. It's a question of whether you believe in the golden rule. And the majority, and I mean, I am persuaded that it is a majority that's a mile wide and an inch deep, that the majority in the state of Missouri, as in most states in the United States, favors the death penalty. But if it were, it's because they marginalize African Americans and other people who are more likely to get it.
But they also, I submit that it's not only that there's the marginalization or the acceptance that the imprinting of violence that and violence understanding that black people you can do that to, mm-hmm. to black people, but also it's that secret little knowledge that you will rarely hear a white person say, I know it's never going to be me. Mm-hmm. I know that this is not, there's a comfort there or understanding there that it's not ever going to happen to me like that.
I have made multiple appearances in African American churches on behalf of Michael Anthony Taylor, mm-hmm. my client mm-hmm. who is facing execution. And ma'am, you'd be surprised. Most of the people who told me it can't happen to me or my family aren't white. They're mm-hmm. African American.
Mm-hmm.
And they apparently just don't know about all of the issues of false eyewitness identification and the other problems with the criminal justice system. There are people in America who think that the discovery of DNA technology is going to be the end of the execution of innocent people, and W is one of these people. And W, to his credit, has done a good deal to promote some steps toward accuracy in the infliction of the death penalty. But that's talking about whether a given dude did it or not. It's not talking about whether the practice mm-hmm. is one that we should endorse.
And we have to take a break. I am talking to Dr. Michael Lenz, professor of sociology and criminology at Bluffton University in Bluffton, Ohio, and John Simon, attorney here in St. Louis. I am here with Jamala Rogers. It is a Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am Liz Brown. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. Southbound 141 at Feeler is an accident investigation, and the right lane is closed at this hour. Westbound 40 at Long Road, look for a medical emergency as a person has slumped in a vehicle. Eastbound 44 from Antire to Merrimack River Bridge, look for no problems there. Northbound 55 at Union and Arsenal, everything is on the move. Northbound 270 at 44 has returned back to normal.
Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley. Look for slight delays. Eastbound 70 from Mid River Mall all the way into Blanchett. Looks good. And westbound 270 from Canal Bridge all the way to West Florissant is on the move. Northbound 270 is thinned out in the right lanes approaching 70. And westbound 5570 from 4th Street on the PSB is still slow this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at 5570 split all the way into Cleeds Landing looks good. Eastbound Page at Overland, the right lane is closed due to water main work, and Manchester at Sulphur Springs, there's a report of an accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. A woman's glow is beautiful, and now every woman can enhance her own glow with new energy Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion with skin brighteners. Visit Dove.com today for your free sample while supplies last. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-40s. This evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the lower 40s. Friday evening, mostly cloudy till early morning, becoming partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. And Saturday, partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-40s. Currently, at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 32 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 32 degrees and clouds as well. Temperature outside with the wind chill makes it feel like it's 26. So bundle up if you're heading outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll have another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Donna Jones, and your children's academic achievement will come first if you elect me to the St. Louis Board of Education. I'll work to lower class sizes, reopen alternative schools, and restore the 25 accreditation points that were squandered by the current board. I'll work to reduce top administrator salaries, stop the extension of the school day, and provide bus service to all students. Make schools lead safe and act on the Kerner Report. Most of all, I'll work to include parents, students, and teachers as part of the policy-making process. As a former parent liaison at Dewey International Study School, I know the importance of keeping communication lines open between families and school, because today's students have the potential to be tomorrow's leader. On Tuesday, April 4th, join me in putting students' achievement first. Vote for me, Donna Jones, for the St. Louis Board of Education.
Paid for by the committee to elect Donna Jones to the Board of Education, Connie Davis, treasurer.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Irv, and I've lived in University City for 40 years. I've voted in every election. This year, I'm voting for Shelley Welch for mayor. Shelley has proven by her actions to be a very honest, fair, forward-thinking person. Shelley and I worked with a small group of University City residents to create the Green Center, an environmental education center for inner-city youth. This is the kind of leadership University City needs. On April the 4th, you have a choice. As I see it, it's more of the same, or it's time for a change for progress. Vote for Shelley Welch.
Paid for by Shelley Welch for mayor, Julie Neiman, treasurer.
Get a jump on your spring homework plans. Visit the St. Clair Home, Garden, and Recreation Show, Spring Edition, Friday through Sunday, March 24th through 26th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Discover many unique vendors, including home and garden exhibitors, representatives, and product agents from manufacturers and distributors around the country. Purchase the work of artists and crafters to enhance your home, garden, or recreational lifestyle. Bring the kids on Saturday, March 25th, when the Easter Bunny arrives at St. Clair Square. Stop at Center Court and register for the opportunity to win one of dozens of prizes to be given away over the weekend. That's the St. Clair Home, Garden, and Recreation Show, Spring Edition, Friday through Sunday, March 24th through 26th in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square, sponsored in part by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Oh,
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. It is Thursday. My name is Liz Brown, and that means that it is Justice for Reggie. Thursday, I am here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, welcome back.
Welcome back.
And we're talking...
Listen to me saying welcome back.
Oh, you're talking to everybody, too. And we're talking about the issue of the connection of the death penalty to institutionalized violence, to enslavement, and the connection of the history of this country with the imprinting of violence. I'm so fascinated by that term. We have two guests to talk about that and to make that connection. Dr. Michael Linza, professor of sociology, criminology at Bluffton University, joining us from Bluffton, Ohio, and John William Simon, an attorney in St. Louis, joining us here in the studio. Gentlemen, welcome back. I want to come back to you, Dr. Linza. Tell us about what propelled you to do this, to write this study, to put together this.
Well, actually, it came indirect. I was doing death penalty research, mostly looking at 18 years of every case charged with the death penalty in Missouri since post-Furman. But what happened was I was also doing some work on folk music. It may sound strange, but in looking at folk music, I started looking at the cultural heritage in Missouri. Suddenly it dawned on me just the discrepancies I was seeing in data with slave regions in the state, which then led me to wonder why. Which led me to look at slave laws and practices and then lynchings, and suddenly it just all came together with certitude and clarity.
Talk to us about some of these slave laws that lead to lead to the death, that's a connection with the death penalty.
And also, Liz, if I could, mm-hmm. I know that Dr. Linz will have to leave soon, but I also wanted him and maybe later on Attorney Simon to speak to we're talking about like the black white victims and black defendants, but I also would want them to look at the overlay of when the victim is a white female and the defendants are black,
because that's what happened in the Reggie case,
and it made it a very highly publicized kind of event almost,
and it was certainly a motivation for the prosecutor in his pursuit of higher office. Can you make that connection, Doctor?
Sure. Actually, that also has a long history. Fear, I think, white fear. If you look back at slavery, actually it's a case in Missouri, there was no such thing as, you could not rape a slave, a white person could not. Most it was trespass on another's property. And it was quite common, actually. 25% of the population was mulatto or mixed, so there was a lot of sexual abuse of slaves ongoing during slavery. It was very common. But with that, there was also this great fear of black males and whether they would have any sexual relations with white females. And that was historically the most extreme case as far as how it was treated by the population, both during slave times and after the Civil War and during the heyday of the lynchings. If it was a black accused of anything against a white female, not only would they tend to be lynched, but they also were quite horribly tortured before that publicly. It was deeply felt. And we look at Missouri laws itself. Missouri did pass the death penalty for rape at one time. And there were 14 executions for that, but 12 of them were black males that were accused of sexual relations with white women. And that also holds to this day with the data. Certainly, having a female victim increases the probability that you're going to be dealt with much more severely, especially a white woman.
And Dr. Linza, you used, I'm assuming it was intentionally, the phrase sexual relations as
yes.
opposed to rape, meaning that in some cases were these consensual sex?
Are you talking about white on black or black on white? Sure. I mean, human beings sometimes, but it wasn't allowed. I mean, you understand that that was no protection for a black male. You would be horribly tortured and murdered in Missouri if that was found out during the 1800s, for certain, or before, you know, for a black having relations with a white female in the state, consensual or not. It wasn't allowed. But you remember, we kept our laws against interracial marriage all the way up to the late 60s, Missouri.
Doctor, did finances... Do finances factor into this in any kind of way? Do we see the same type of treatment for black men regardless of their income? Or does income factor into this?
Well, if you're talking about presently,
yes.
You know, remember back historically, blacks were not allowed to accumulate wealth.
Right.
But wealth does not seem to overcome race in the analysis. Race seems to be much more important than income, although we do have to note that in Missouri, when you look at who actually gets the death penalty, you can actually predict 80% of all cases that go to trial on two factors, whether they're indigent and required representation by a public defender or court-appointed attorney, and whether they had any sort of prior criminal offense, which also is related to social. You do not need to know anything about the case itself.
What surprised you the most as you were putting together this, as you were working on this?
I was just astounded about how large of an impact old slave regions of Missouri was still having the production of death penalty cases in Missouri. I would not have believed that it would have had as strong and determinative effect as it's having.
When you share this with your colleagues, do they have that resistance as well?
They're very, yes. It's because we forget about institutionalization of beliefs. You know, once something is institutionalized, especially within our laws and within our beliefs, it's self-perpetuating in a sense. It continues forward through time without any extra effort being, you know, taken. But we forget about these things. We don't think about slavery. We don't think about these laws. And
when it hits us
in the face, there's a lot of resistance. We still don't like to think that we're operating under slave mentality.
Well, and also people convince themselves that it ended. Therefore, everything related to it ended as well.
Well, sure, but then all you have to do is look at lynchings.
Mm-hmm.
The phenomenal number of blacks who were lynched were even trifle minor offenses here in this country. And actually, lynchings did not stop until we had effective Jim Crow laws in the country. You know, that's when lynchings fell away. It's when we took away any sort of political access to blacks for such a long time in this nation.
Where can people take a look at your study?
Well, they could contact me. Part of it has published in Social Justice, and just for the current analysis, the historical I'm still working on for publication. But they could contact me for a copy of the dissertation, or they could get a copy from the University of Missouri, Columbia.
Okay, and is there a number or an address that you want people to contact, where you want people to contact you?
You could contact me at... Lenzam, L-E-N-Z-A-M, at Bluffton.edu would be fine.
Very good. Dr. Michael Lenzam, I know that you took an extra 50 minutes to share with us this morning. I want to thank you so much.
I appreciate it. And if you ever have any more questions, please don't hesitate to contact me.
Certainly will. Thank you so much.
You have a good day.
You too. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. We're talking about the connection of the death penalty to enslavement, to institutionalized violence. We'll be back to continue our discussion with John William Simon. He's an attorney here in St. Louis, so we're going to be talking about that when we get back. Stay with us.
This one's coming to an end.
Time again. again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. With the Bush administration revelation that it is adopting a preemptive strike policy in the interest of national security, focus is also now on a doctrine adopted in March of last year, known officially as Joint Publication 3-12. It is more commonly known around the Pentagon as the Doctrine for Joint Nuclear Operations and calls for the use of conventional and nuclear attacks under a unified and integrated command and control center. The whole concept has to do with planning and decision-making for achieving strategic goals militarily and making the most efficient use of force, which is left to the discretion of commanders to choose the weaponry needed to accomplish the mission. The wording of the doctrine is as follows. Integration of conventional and nuclear forces is crucial to the success of any comprehensive strategy. This integration will ensure optimal targeting, minimal collateral damage, and reduce the probability of escalation. What it basically says is that the United States thinks nuclear war light is acceptable, and that a country that poses a threat with weapons of mass destruction can be neutralized with weapons of mass destruction. Another part of this new war doctrine is Con Plan 8022. It provides for the immediate use of nuclear, conventional, or informational warfare to neutralize what are called time-urgent targets anywhere in the world. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld issued an order to put this plan into the military playbook 2 years ago. A recent news report out of Turkey indicates that the United States is deploying tactical-type nuclear weapons in southern Iraq to support its plan to strike Iran if Iran offers a response to an Israeli attack upon its nuclear facilities. It is known that over the last 2 years, Israel bought several hundred of the new laser-guided bunker buster bombs from the United States, which can be launched from jet fighters. There's also a thermonuclear version of the bunker buster, but it is unclear if Israel has this version in its arsenal. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Acme Price. I live in University City. And on April 4th, I'll be voting for Shelley Welch, the mayor of University City. Shelley is a person who has great communicative skills, and she is articulate and analytical. On April 4th, please vote for Shelley Welch, our next mayor of University City. You'll be glad you did.
This ad has been paid for by Shelley Welch for Mayor, Julie Neiman, Treasurer.
It's tax time. Where are you going to go to get them done? Only one place. Richard Smith's Tax Service, 367-1282. Why? Because he's honest. Because they're dependable. Because they're respectful. And because they have a check cashing place right there. You can cash your check right there at 1408 North Kings Highway, Suite 113A. He's been there before the other guys got here, and he'll be here after they leave. Richard Smith's Tax Service, 367-1282.
This is Liz Brown, and I want to remind you that Tuesday, April 4th is Election Day all over our region. In the city of St. Louis, we have a critically important school board race, and there is also a charter change that would make it harder to recall your alder people. In University City, there's an important mayoral race as well as aldermen and school board races. And there are important school board races in Hazelwood and in Riverview Gardens. We have seen in St. Louis what happens when the wrong choices are made on a school board. So get involved. Volunteer to work on campaigns. Call your neighbors and let them know who to support. And if you can, take off Election Day and work the polls. And if you are unable to vote on Election Day, call your election board and find out how to vote absentee. And finally, remember, vote on Election Day, April 4th. The future of our children and the future of our community depends upon it.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
No more trouble.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. It's Thursday, and I am here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. Jamala, welcome back.
Thank you.
And we are talking this morning about the connection between institutionalized violence, enslavement, and the death penalty, and race. We have joining us in the studio John William Simon. He's an attorney that represents Michael Taylor. Tell us about Michael Taylor.
Michael Anthony Taylor was one of two relatively young African-American men who were charged with kidnapping, raping, and murdering a high school honor student, 15-year-old girl in Kansas City.
And she's white. And she was white.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And nothing that I am going to say and nothing that I have ever said about this case should be understood as minimizing the seriousness of that offense. And if Michael Taylor were sitting here with me, he would not minimize it. He is exceptionally remorseful about this, and with good reason, because although he was not the primary actor in the offenses, he was there and he didn't stop the primary actor, and he feels guilty about that to this day. But if we compare the case in which he was convicted with the other cases that happened at or about the same time in Kansas City, and in fact during the entire 12 years that the elected prosecutor served as prosecuting attorney of Jackson County, we see that if Michael Taylor is executed, it will not be because of the seriousness of the offense, but because of the cross-racial sexual homicide nature of the offense. In other words, if Michael Taylor is executed, it will not be for murder, but for miscegenation. How can I say that? At or about the same time in Kansas City, a man named Ray Sean Jackson was allowed to plead guilty to life without parole. Ray Sean Jackson had raped and murdered six women.
Six white women.
No. No.
No?
I'll tell the story. Right. I'll tell the story. He murdered six and raped six women. And although we don't deny that Michael Taylor and his co-defendant, Roderick Nunley, did what they had to do, did the physical acts that they had to do to be guilty of the offenses, they didn't do stuff on top of what they needed to do to be guilty of the offenses. I'm being delicate because this is radio. The facts in the Ray Sean Jackson case were absolutely egregious. They were far, far worse than the facts in the Michael Taylor case. But Ray Sean Jackson killed six women, but they were black. Ray Sean Jackson was allowed to plead guilty to life without parole. Bob Berdella was a white man who had a house in which he would lure young men into the house, and he would imprison them and sodomize them and torture them and kill them. And Bob Berdella, when he got caught, was allowed to plead guilty to life without parole. The Jackson County Prosecutor's Office had a practice post-Furman that if you were accused of a capital offense and you would accept responsibility and spare the state the trouble of a trial, spare the decedent's survivors the need to go through a penalty phase, the state would say, we will not seek the death penalty. You can have life without parole. Only in the Nunley and Taylor case did they make an exception from this practice and insist on the death penalty when the accused citizens were willing to plead guilty in exchange for the state's waiving the death penalty. The reason they wouldn't do it in this case and not in these worse cases involving more victims and more incidents of abuse and brutality and sadism and perversion is because Michael Taylor and Roderick Nunley violated the same taboo that Tom Robinson did in To Kill a Mockingbird and that Herr Feldenstein did in Judgment at Nuremberg. Tom Robinson was accused of having intercourse with a white woman. Herr Feldenstein was accused of having intercourse with a Jewish female. And so they got the death penalty in those fictional cases, and Michael Taylor got the death penalty in this real case.
And how do you prove that? How do you prove that this is about race?
By looking at comparable cases And the most comparable cases are Rayshon Jackson and Bob Berdella. Plus, when we look at the universe of cases during those 12 years in Jackson County, the Nunley and Taylor case was the only one where the prosecutor's office turned down a plea to life without parole. If there started out to be another case, Ricky Ramsey, in which the prosecutor's office was going to insist on the death penalty, one of the decedent survivors made a statement to the committee of lawyers in the prosecutor's office in the Ricky Ramsey case that was explicitly racist, and the defense learned about this statement, and when the prosecution learned that the defense had learned about it, they folded their tent on the death penalty and allowed Mr. Ramsey to plead to life without parole.
So during this 12-year period, there were no more cases of black men accused of killing white women?
There were no cases in which the prosecution insisted on the death penalty when the accused citizen was willing to plead guilty to life without parole.
Very good. John William Simon, we have 10 seconds left here. I'd like to bring you back. I'd like to continue this conversation. Can we do that?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Jamala Rogers, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a very power-packed hour here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with us.
Coming all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the
little man.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is
sharing issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alder.
They were rescued. They're in safe condition. They're in good medical condition. And they're excited about returning to their families.
Army General, Major General Rick Lynch with the news that three of four aid workers who were kidnapped in Iraq could soon be headed home. The two Canadians and a Briton rescued in a joint British-U.S. operation.
This is Ann Compton at the White House, where news of the rescue has brightened spirits.
Anytime we're able to find or bring to safety hostages that have been taken by this brutal enemy is a good day.
Presidential counselor Dan Bartlett tells ABC News the search is still on for others. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
An American who was kidnapped with the three was killed earlier this year. At least 30 people are dead after a series of explosions in Iraq. The attacks may be a reaction to the aid workers' rescue. Earlier this week, we told you that a lot of FBI agents don't have access to email. Well, that could be just the start of their tech problems.
Critics worry that the U.S. government may miss a terrorism lead because of antiquated technology. This week, we learned FBI agents in New York do not have ready access to BlackBerries. And the FBI has yet to put in place a computer system or virtual case file to help connect the dots.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. The families of 12 Americans killed in a Chilean bus accident are on their way to the South American nation. The victims were passengers on a cruise that had taken a side trip. The bus tumbled down a mountain. Two Americans survived.
We cry it out and we pray. That's all we can do.
And that's the grandmother of 11-year-old Purvis Virginia Parker, one of two Milwaukee boys who have been missing since Sunday. The search for Parker and 12-year-old Quadravian Henning continues today, with divers focusing on a nearby lagoon and sewers. There were fewer of us in the unemployment line last week. Jobless claims were down by about 11,000. That's a bigger decline than expected. Dow and NASDAQ both down a fraction. This is ABC News.
It's Toyota's premier event, going on now at your Toyota dealer. No matter what you're looking for, we've got your favorite Toyota models, including 4-doors, 2-doors, 4-cylinder, V6, and V8 engines, the latest in hybrid technology, and much more. Toyota's premier event is on. This is your chance for huge savings now. But hurry, you won't want to miss this. Toyota, moving forward.
Get to Kohl's two-day mega sale for 2 days of mega shopping, plus extra savings during power hours. Shop Friday from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. and Saturday 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Like 50% off all Mrs. Gloria Vanderbilt and Lee Capri's, Famous Maker Bras for only $13.99, and 50 to 60% off all men's suit separates, sport coats, and blazers from Chaps, Access, and Apartment 9. Plus an extra 15% off all kitchen electrics, already 10 to 50% off. Kohl's two-day mega sale this Friday and Saturday only. Kohl's.
Expect great things.
Authorities in Selmer, Tennessee are looking for the wife and children of a minister. The Reverend Matthew Winkler was found in his home shot to death. The family hasn't been seen or heard from since. This is one way to see the nation from the ground up, not to mention to take a load off. ABC's Bob Schmidt has the story.
When Steve Vaught began walking last April in San Diego, he weighed 420 pounds. He wanted to lose weight to reinvent himself as an example for his two kids. Now, 2,300 miles into his cross-country trek, Vaught has lost 114 pounds and gained a lot of new admirers. His website gets 700,000 hits a month. 80,000 people have emailed him. Vaught's been offered millions to endorse various products, including a weight loss pill, but says he won't promote products he doesn't use. If his feet hold up, Steve Vaught plans to walk into New York City in about 6 weeks. Bob Schmidt, ABC News, New York.
And I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a man injured in a police-involved accidental shooting this week faces additional charges in connection with an incident last month. 23-year-old Raymond Sutton was wanted on several charges, including robbery and assault, when he allegedly scuffled with officers Monday night at a home in the 4500 block of McMillan. Police say Sutton managed to get an officer's gun in the struggle, and the gun went off with a bullet striking Sutton in the face. Sutton is now charged with assault on a law enforcement officer and armed criminal action for allegedly firing shots at another officer on February 22nd. An audit of Missouri's tobacco settlement funding reveals that only a fraction of 1% of the money has gone toward tobacco-related programs. Missouri has received almost $1 billion through the settlement with Big Tobacco, but less than $2 million have gone toward prevention programs. State Auditor Claire McCaskill says most of it has gone to the General Revenue Fund, where it's difficult to track exactly how it was spent. McCaskill says the use of the tobacco funds reflects poorly on state lawmakers who have failed to use the money for its intended purpose. The St. Louis County Police Crime Laboratory is getting national recognition. The County Police Crime Lab is the first county crime lab in Missouri to receive accreditation from the American Society of Crime Laboratory Directors Laboratory Accreditation Board. Only three other Missouri labs have met the accreditation standards. Finally this hour, St. Peter's Mayor Sean Brown is encouraging the public to participate in the Meals on Wheels program. This is after he delivered over a dozen meals to homebound seniors in his community as part of the National Mayors for Meals effort.
It's a need. It's not even a want. I mean, some of the first stops we came to, that gentleman was 94 years old, and, you know, there's no way that he could cook anything to eat, and he's still living at home, still getting around and everything, but, you know, they just need that little extra food delivery, you know, every day in and day out.
More information about the Meals on Wheels program is available online at www.mowaa.org. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by WWE. Don't miss the ultimate WWE fan experience. WrestleMania Fan Access Tour is coming this Friday through Sunday at the Rec Room in Alton Square Mall. Superstars, prizes, and more. For hours, visit WrestleMania.com. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by State Farm Insurance. Southbound 141 in Feewood, look for an accident. An investigation work is going on in the right lane of this block. Southbound 55 at Gas Canadian Base, look for two left lanes closed due to road construction in both directions. 370 at Elm and 94, the bridge maintenance operations have left lane closed. Eastbound 70 at Carr, look for a left lane closed due to lighting work. Eastbound Page at Riddle and Overland, the right lane is closed for water main work. Olive at between 81st and 82nd Streets. Temporary stop signs are up while the crews are repairing the signals. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by State Farm Insurance. Switch to State Farm and your great driving record could help you get great discounts. Talk to Agent Bob Grohn in Creve Coeur, Missouri today and get your reward here and now. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Mostly cloudy, high in the mid-40s today. This evening, mostly cloudy, low around 30. Friday, mostly cloudy, high in the lower 40s. Friday evening, mostly cloudy. Till early morning, becoming partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. And on Saturday, partly sunny skies, a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 32 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 33. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Is up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Liz Brown, and I want to remind you that Tuesday, April 4th, is Election Day all over our region. In the city of St. Louis, we have a critically important school board race, and there is also a charter change that would make it harder to recall your alder people. In University City, there's an important mayoral race, as well as aldermen and school board races. And there are important school board races in Hazelwood and in Riverview Gardens. We have seen in St. Louis what happens when the wrong choices are made on a school board. So get involved. Volunteer to work on campaigns. Call your neighbors and let them know who to support. And if you can, take off Election Day and work the polls. And if you are unable to vote on Election Day, call your election board and find out how to vote absentee. And finally, remember, vote on Election Day, April 4th. The future of our children and the future of our community depends on
it. Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. My goodness gracious. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance, 1-877-920-WGNU. We need to get up. Need to get to me. We have much to talk about. I want to thank everybody who came out last night to listen to the forum, to get some information from the forum, from Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Senator Rita Days, and myself. There was a great turnout. It was great. And I enjoyed spending my time with you. And we need to do that more often. We truly, truly, truly do. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz, this is registered voter calling.
Yes.
I'm calling to for your listening audience to be apprised of the fact that there's an African film festival that will start this evening at 7 p.m. at the Washington University Brown Hall, 7 p.m. this evening. Also, this will run through Sunday of some, from seven different countries on the continent. They will be showing films by African directors. Also, on tomorrow evening, the Academy Award Foreign Film Satsi will be showing at the Tivoli Theater.
What is that film about?
Oh, that's about life in South Africa.
Okay.
Life in South Africa.
Very good.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fact. Huh? Facts, huh? Is my facts. How are things going for folks out there? How are things going for folks out here? Huh? I think that it is important, because last night we talked about this at the forum. You know, the frustration of the Democratic Party, the shoot in foot mouth disease. They don't just shoot themselves in the foot; they shoot themselves in the mouth too. It's just ridiculous. Pushing Paul Hackett out of the race, and here we have in Illinois Tammy Duckworth, a decorated Iraq War veteran who lost not one leg, but two legs. And last time I counted, that's all any of us have. Lost two legs in a grenade attack. She won a race for the Democratic primary to fill the seat that was held by Republican Henry Hyde in the 6th Congressional District. She's the most prominent. She's the best financed of the dozen veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan war that are attempting to launch careers in Congress. She was her challenger was a Democrat, Christine Kalaglis. And this person had been running. Christine had been running nonstop since she lost the race to Hyde 2 years ago. And it is my understanding that the Democratic Party put their money behind Christine. Of course they did. This is a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. She's 38 years old. She's a retired Army major. And she had very strong views on the war. She told the audience that she supports the troops and believes that the United States must persevere long enough to give Iraqis a chance, but she said that Bush's decision to invade Iraq was an error and the war has been badly managed. Huh. The other Democrat in the race tried to portray her as a carpetbagger. Huh. And the Democrat attacked the other Democrat by saying that she raised her $500,000 campaign war chest with the help of Democratic national allies. Huh. Huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Is this a harbinger of the world to come? Is this the world to come? Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And I would be remiss not to discuss the story that was birthed here in the city of St. Louis. That is percolating all over the nation. What not to, how not to describe Condoleezza Rice. And one of the interesting pieces of the story, as many of you well know by now, there was a talk show host by the name of David Lenihan who during the midst of a radio conversation with his brand new job, he called Condoleezza Rice a coon. Said he didn't mean to. Said it was a slip. Didn't mean to do that. He was fired minutes later. And there are all kinds of stories embedded in that story. One, the story embedded in that story is the fact that first you have to raise the question, then you have to look at the story within it. And the question is why was he kicked off so quickly? Because Condoleezza Rice is a Republican. I submit to you that this has more to do with politics than race and racism. Because this is a town that, the city of St. Louis is a town that has a certain comfort level with racism, embraces it in some respects, denies it in other respects, ignores it in other respects. Well, this is a city that's comfortable with racism. So why did it rise up in such an immediate fashion? In politics. This is George Bush's wife. You can't call her out her name. And then the other story embedded in this is that it becomes a question of, do you believe the argument or the position that it was a slip of the tongue? I, for one, do not. The word is there. The word is there. I've never slipped up and said it. And anybody that's, it's like, you know, and this is from the perspective of a woman of African descent. I can't tell you the number of times that I've heard people say, when they say racist things, I was just kidding, I didn't mean it, you're overreacting, or you're misinterpreting. That is always the defense. I didn't mean to say that. I've heard them all. They've come in all kinds of packages. I've heard every excuse in the book. So the question is because you cannot get into the heart or the mind of anybody, is whether you believe the excuse that you've been given your entire life as a person of African descent. No, I do not. I can't get in the mind. I cannot. But I also believe that you don't have to be a member of the Klan to use that word. You don't have to be a white-robed, hooded, sheeted fellow to use that word or to call people of African descent out their names. You don't. You can be a bow-tied, coiffed, in charge of a billion-dollar company that sends $1 million every year to the Martin Luther King Scholarship Fund. And you could still use those words. So the test is not whether or not you have a hood in your closet or on your mantle. It's not it. How comfortable were you using the word? It came out your mouth. That's M-O-U-F, mouth. It came out your mouth. Shouldn't have been in your mouth. shouldn't have been in your mouth to push out. And then the other embedded story in this story, what does Shakespeare call it? A play within a play. The other embedded story in this is the feckless, weak-kneed, compromised, buy him for a penny, get back some change, NAACP. Running up to, there was a picture I saw yesterday, just made me want to spit. Big old preacher of African descent. Hugging up on George W. Bush like you thought that that was his daddy. Hugging hard on George. And then the confused and uncomfortable look of George W. Bush standing there amidst this big African, man of African descent, hugging up on him. Why was he hugging up on him? He gave my church $1,000,003. Compromised. The NAACP in the city of St. Louis is compromised. And you hear that same type of hugging up on George W. Bush with a confused look on George Bush's face. I mean, it wasn't a mutual thing, is what I'm saying. George didn't have that kind of enthusiasm directed at this man that was hugging all over him. So in the city of St. Louis, we had this feckless, compromised, buy him for a penny, get back change, NAACP. Weighing in on this issue of David Linehan and Condoleezza Rice. Man, what do they say to this radio station that has the Cardinals on it? Oh, we just want to compliment you. You all are so wonderful. You all are just the best. We love you. Ain't nobody saying they love you. So busy trying to carry their water and make it easy for them. And, oh, yeah, and also the NAACP said, also, just in case anybody thinks that they're stepping out too strong, we also go after, it's not just white hosts that say these things. We go after anybody. Well, baby, let's throw down. You got a name out there, say it. What's that line? What's that line from? There was a movie years ago with Glenn Close and I can't remember the name of the movie, but there was this line in there where the prosecutor had a case where he had cheated on, and Glenn Close was talking about it because she helped him cheat on it, and he said to her, "Name the case, bring it. Name the case, Harold Crumpton." Head of the most feckless, compromised, buy him for a penny, get back change, NAACP in the world. You know somebody, you know some black folks out there that call them white folks out their name. Name the case. Say the name. Or sit down and shut up. And quit begging up on people, embarrassing yourself like that and the organization. Say the name. Say it. Darius, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
You know, we can just write out the NAACP. They've been out the books for years, you know, because of their works, you know. I don't even, you know, consider them even as far as being beneficial to the black cause. But I wanted to make a comment about, comment about the man that made that racial slur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing... When you say things in that manner, it's in you. You've been saying it. It's a habit. You know, we always do things in habit. If you say those things consistently, that's what comes out. When soon as he said it, I apologize. He's been using that word consistently in other racial epithet for years. You do it according to what you say.
All I know is that you don't have to wear a hood in order to use these words. And, you know, I've heard all the excuses my whole life.
I've heard the excuses my whole life. No, I don't believe you.
Right.
No, I don't.
It's not a slip-up. It's just that you say it all the time, but you don't see it in the company of black people.
And here's the other piece of it. What happens is, and I said this on the first part of my show, is that when folks, you know, when you take off your shoes at somebody's house, you unbuckle your belt, you fixing to get comfortable.
That's
right. You're going to say some stuff, do some stuff. Your body may even respond in some ways that you normally respond at home, okay? Because you're all comfortable up in there, okay?
Right.
You got this new gig. You are the happiest person on the face of the earth. You getting comfortable.
Yeah.
You've made it from your perspective.
Right.
And you got comfortable.
That's right.
And this is what happens when you unbuckle your belt.
Right. And it was said
stuff
not
comes
in
out
anger,
that's in you.
But it was said in jest. See, so that really let you know he wasn't in an anger, which it doesn't make any difference. But it's amazing how people say things in anger and in jesting as well.
Right.
So it was just a natural word that he had been using all the time.
All right, now.
And let me say one more thing about the ministers. A true minister is supposed to be the enemy of the government. The minister is supposed to be the conscience of the government.
Mm.
Whenever a minister walks up in a political office, they should run and hide because he should be the one that's supposed to be their conscience. He don't supposed to be sitting up here compromising with George Bush. He should be his conscience. George Bush, a true minister, George Bush would not allow in the White House because he do not want to hear what a minister is truly saying to him.
I love that. Thank you so much. I love that.
All right. Thank you, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break, folks. I know you want to talk to me, but we got to get this break done. But we're going to come back. We're going to come back. We're going to come back.
I don't know what to say to you.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Dolores Mills, a resident of University City for 36 years. Shelley Welch has been my councilwoman for the past 4 years. She has consistently pushed for citizen involvement in the decision-making process, including the selection of a new city manager and the renovation of the Centennial Commons Center, formerly Heman Park. Shelley encourages residents to share their visions of what University City should become. On April 4th, vote for Shelley Welch for mayor. We need her style of responsive leadership for University City.
Paid for by Shelley Welch for mayor, Julie Neiman, treasurer.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
My name is Peter Downs. In the last 3 years, we've seen St. Louis schools lose 25 accreditation points.
Peter Downs has been a public schools parent for 18 years and has two children currently in St. Louis public schools.
Violence in schools has soared and the dropout rate has shot up.
As publisher and editor of the St. Louis Schools Watch, Peter Downs has been an advocate for all children.
It is time to turn our schools around.
Peter Downs' reporting helped prod the management of St. Louis Public Schools to clean up lead contamination at Mann School.
Vote for me on April 4th. Let's build a school board that wants to educate every child. Let's build a school board that will work with parents and the community to build the kind of schools that St. Louisans want.
As a school board member, Peter Downs will be able to do even more.
Together, we can make a difference. Vote for Peter Downs for school board.
Peter Downs is a parent's choice for school board.
My name is Peter Downs. Vote for me on April 4th.
Paid for by the committee to elect Peter Downs, Kathy Steyer, treasurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Jones, and your children's academic achievement will come first if you elect me to the St. Louis Board of Education. I'll work to lower class sizes, reopen alternative schools, and restore the 25 accreditation points that were squandered by the current board. I'll work to reduce top administrative salaries, stop the extension of the school day, and provide bus service to all students. Make schools lead safe and act on the Kerner Report. Most of all, I'll work to include parents, students, and teachers as part of the policy-making process. As a former parent liaison at Dewey International Study School, I know the importance of keeping communication lines open between families and school, because today's students have the potential to be tomorrow's leader. on Tuesday, April 4th. Join me in putting students' achievement first. Vote for me, Donna Jones, for the St. Louis Board of Education.
Paid for by the committee to elect Donna Jones to the Board of Education, Connie Davis, Treasurer.
Tired of talking to the wall, the TV, the puppy?
Here, Fido.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Give us a call. We'll listen.
This is Liz Brown, and I want to remind you that Tuesday, April 4th, is Election Day all over our region. In the city of St. Louis, we have a critically important school board race, and there is also a charter change that would make it harder to recall your alder people. In University City, there's an important mayoral race, as well as aldermen and school board races. And there are important school board races in Hazelwood and in Riverview Gardens. We have seen in St. Louis what happens when the wrong choices are made on a school board. So get involved. Volunteer to work on campaigns. Call your neighbors and let them know who to support. And if you can, take off Election Day and work the polls. And if you are unable to vote on Election Day, call your election board and find out how to vote absentee. And finally, remember, vote on Election Day, April 4th. The future of our children and the future of our community depends upon it. Listen, folks, spring's coming. I know you want to shed some of those winter pounds. How do you lose the inches? Get down, Mama. That's right. Got to exercise to drop off the weight naturally. Mama, here's the deal. $100, you get Latin salsa. You get African-style dance, belly dance, total fitness, boot camp, one-half-hour massage, one-half-hour personal training session, all that for 8 weeks, unlimited. 8 weeks at Get Down, Mama. Here's the best part. You put your $100 down, and if in that 8 weeks you lose the most inches, you will walk away with $500 cash. That's right, $500 cash. Give them a call at 524-6162. 524-6162. Get down, Mama. Lose the weight and win $500. 524-6162.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Yeah. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah, there's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone's got their own opinion. And you know, I sure got mine. It's my way.
Is my world. Don't you come a messing in my world. This is Liz Brown. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me, Max.
Yeah, Liz, good show. Let me say this. I don't want to understand what you said.
Okay.
You were suggesting that Dave Linehan, because this slip of the tongue was that he, in private settings, is used to using this word. That's why it was on his lips and was allowed to come out the way it did. Is that sort of what you were saying?
Absolutely, that's sort of what I was saying.
So if you're suggesting
mm-hmm.
he uses this word in private settings, are you suggesting that he's a racist?
I'm suggesting, well, I believe that people who use that type of word in private settings to describe people of African descent on a regular basis, people who do that, yes, are indeed racist people. Now, with regard to the specificness of Dave Linehan, what we have is what he said. Now, people can draw conclusions either way. I draw my conclusion based upon my life experience as a person of African descent and the research that I have done on the issue of being of African descent. The fact of the matter is this. The historically, I personally, and I have read as well, and I have talked to thousands of black people who have had the same experience. White people who use words like coon, if you use words like nigger, who use words like that, more often than not, will tell you it was a slip of the tongue. I didn't mean that. It wasn't my intention for you to be offended by that. And the reality is that if you said it, you meant it. And if you said it, you said it once, you've said it before. And if you said it, you are what it makes you. So absolutely, you don't slip into the word coon.
Well, I think that it's sad that would be your justification and not a guy.
What should be my justification?
When you're going to make an allegation against someone specifically, I think you should look at the 3 years that the man was on this station and know that the man doesn't have racial, is not a racist. And
well, I never said the word the man was racist. You asked me.
Just implied.
Well, then that's not saying, is it?
We're talking about
what people actually say.
I said, does this mean he's a racist? And you said that it does.
But that doesn't mean calling the man a racist. I never called him a racist until you asked me the question, can we conclude that? I said yes. But had I ever called him a racist on this show so far this morning? Of course not, I had not.
And that's why I wanted to ask you that question. But
So you could jump on the racist word, right?
I think you should use...
Jump on the racist word. Let's jump on the coon word. Let's jump on that word and talk about what that means instead of hopping up on the word racist.
I think you should use the 3.5 years the man was on this station and knows this man doesn't have racial, is not a racist, and I think you
How
should...
How do you know that? How do you know that?
By you're using some social...
No, I asked you. Your evidence is based upon how many hours in the three and a half years did you listen to this person? How many hours?
Almost every day.
So give me some numbers of hours. I'm not talking for exactions. Just give me a number of hours.
I couldn't...
100 hours maybe? You think 100 hours you've listened to this person?
Probably more than that.
Okay, so more than 100 hours of listening to a person who... Have you ever met this person?
Have you ever met this person?
Okay. Have you ever been to this person's home?
No.
Have you ever met this person's wife?
No.
Have you ever talked to any of this person's friends?
No.
Have you ever read anything that this person has written?
Yes.
Okay. So, here's what we have. We have someone who's listened to a person on the radio for a few hundred hours, comfortable with drawing a conclusion that this person is not a racist, right? But you don't know anything about their private life. You've never met their friends. You've never talked to their friends. The fact of the matter is that simply because...
Don't you think that's a more informed opinion than you're sort of using
a
social construct?
Actually, no, because what I'm basing this on... What I am basing my conclusion on is the pattern of behavior that occurs when an incident like this occurs.
So you're using experience with other people, not experience with this man specifically.
No, I'm using examples of what happened. I'm not talking about the person's name is Joe or the person's name is Jane. I'm talking about when a person, regardless of their name, says and uses a racial epithet. I don't have to. You can say it once, and you could have said 1,000. I could have had 1,700 million hours of conversation with you. And if you, in the last hour of all the conversations that I have with you, you use the word, the N-word in a conversation with me, I don't care what the other 1,700 words were. It doesn't matter to me, because the use of the word, the N-word, the use of the word coon, says to me who you are, and you were just holding it in all that other time. That's what it says. And you, on the other hand, would say, I think that you need to give a person the benefit of the doubt when they use the word coon. I believe that you should give the person the benefit of the doubt when they use the word nigger. My perspective is that when you use that word, you say who and what you are, regardless if you gave $50 million to the Martin Luther King Foundation. I don't care.
You are using experiences with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Make a judgment on this person rather than using any experience at all with him individually.
All you have to do is say it once. And it says who you are.
You're saying that in
the legal world, what you're saying is that I believe that there's a one bite dog rule. You're saying the dog should get 7 or 8 or 9 bites before we believe that he's a biting dog.
I'm
I believe that there's
you're
one
going
bite
on the air. imply that someone's a racist.
Uh-huh. No, that's your interpretation that I'm implying.
You should at least have the, I don't know, the intellectual courtesy.
I've used my intellect to tell you that I've based this on facts. You're basing this on a man that you've never met.
I'm not basing this on facts at all. You're not basing
certainly
this on anything
I am.
About
certainly
Dave
I am.
Linehan.
Certainly
you're basing this
I am. No, we're drawing a conclusion about a man using a racial epithet. And I'm saying that I don't care if the man is given $50 million to the Martin Luther King Foundation. The first time that I hear you use the N-word, you are a racist. Period.
Sociological.
Okay, we're done here. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. Thomas, good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Miss Brown, I think you are really a great woman. Because you bringing in, and this guy you just got to talk about, I've been hearing him talk for years. You know, most Caucasians will not admit that they are racist. If they go back and study history, where they came from, how they got to where they are now, they know racism means one, when you got the power over a multitude of peoples, right?
Okay.
Is that racism? Am I right about that?
Yes.
You're okay. Well, then, why? Then the white people, they had to, the Caucasians, when they had to exist where they are today, they had to use racism, their power of persuasion, of lying, and everything else to get to where they are. And they used what somebody else discovered. Everything they use today, they did not discover. The people, the black people, the one that we talked, one discovered all this, because you can look back in history. If they go back in history and study, they wouldn't be up here arguing today, because they do not use the truth.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Molly.
Yes, Liz, I just wanted you to know I do agree with everything you are saying, but I would like to know what is your view or how do you feel about blacks calling themselves,
using the N-word and
each other. I hear that all the time, and it bothers me.
Okay, I have heard it as well. I think that it is a self-loathing act. I think that it is reprehensible. I think it is something to be condemned. I think that it is something that there needs to be. I don't even listen to Boondocks anymore. Mm-hmm. And I can no longer read the comic strip because of the awful use of that word that Aaron Magruder engages in. And when the NAACP gave him an image award, I just wanted to scream. I just wanted to scream because it's foul and it's unacceptable it is wrong.
Well, can you tell me what type of attitude do you think would precipitate someone to degrade themselves in such a manner?
Self-loathing and an absence of knowledge of their history.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Haifa. The security wall erected by Israel on the West Bank is causing severe hardship upon Palestinian farmers. That word from a United Nations humanitarian report. There are some 5,000 Palestinians living in the areas between the wall and the border that Israel had before the 1967 war, and they have to have permits to get into or out of those areas. This restriction has caused a rise in unemployment and a decline in income, and only about half of the barrier has been completed so far. A UN official who spoke about the report says the permits that have to be obtained to pass through the checkpoints are complicated to get, and then the gates themselves are only open for limited amounts of time. An Israeli official says any inconvenience created is more than offset by the number of Israeli lives it is saving. and Dateline Sofia. The United States is in negotiations with Bulgaria to establish two military bases there. Bulgarian officials say there are some issues to be worked out before permission is granted. One of them is that Bulgaria wants its own flag to be flown over any bases America may establish on its territory. Another has to do with what type of legal status the American soldiers will have in Bulgaria while on those bases. Another problem is whether the United States will have to inform Bulgaria in advance if any operations based in Bulgaria result in attacks on other nations. Two air bases, as well as a training facility, are at the heart of those discussions. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Listen, folks, if you want to get your trifecta of shopping experience, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about great price. I'm talking about great service. And I am talking about great location. That's a trifecta every day of the week. You need to get on over to Sears at 3425 Union. What'd I say? 3425 Union. Your big TVs, your DVDs, they got it all. And the best customer service in town, the best deals in town, and the best location in town. Don't go to the mall. Come on home to your community. 3425 Union. I'm Liz Brown. Get your shop on at Sears. It's tax time. Where are you going to go to get them done? Only one place. Richard Smith's Tax Service, 367-1282. Why? Because he's honest. Because they're dependable. Because they're respectful. And because they have a check cashing place right there. You can cash your check right there at 1408 North Kings Highway, Suite 113A. He's been there before the other guys got here, and he'll be here after they leave. Richard Smith's Tax Service, 367-1282.
What is a community? It's friends, neighbors, co-workers, the people we work with, the people we share our world with. Sodexo is a community. It's a community of more than 100,000 employees and the 6 million people we serve every day. Sodexo is a community of people committed to improving the quality of daily life in St. Louis. It's why we partner with local minority-owned businesses, support the Gateway Classic with $50,000 in scholarships, and provide grants to the Martin Luther King Jr. Essay Contest and YMCA tutorial programs. It's why we collected nearly a quarter of a ton of food for the Kirksville Food Bank and support programs like Habitat for Humanity. Sodexo is part of your community, providing services across America and right here in St. Louis. Get to know us at SodexoUSA.com.
Hi, I'm Donna Jones, and your children's academic achievement will come first if you elect me to the St. Louis Board of Education. I'll work to lower class sizes, reopen alternative schools, and restore the 25 accreditation points that were squandered by the current board. I'll work to reduce top administrative salaries, stop the extension of the school day, and provide bus service to all students. Make schools lead safe and act on the Kerner Report. Most of all, I'll work to include parents, students, and teachers as part of the policy-making process. As a former parent liaison at Dewey International Study School, I know the importance of keeping communication lines open between families and school, because today's students have the potential to be tomorrow's leader. On Tuesday, April 4th, join me in putting students' achievement first. Vote for me, Donna Jones, for the St. Louis Board of Education.
Paid for by the committee to elect Donna Jones to the Board of Education, Connie Davis, Treasurer.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999.
Shelley Welsh will make a great mayor of University City. I'm Dave, and I've seen Shelley's powerful performance on City Council. We've all seen Shelley Welsh fight to use taxpayer money wisely to build us a great rec center. We've all seen how Shelley Welsh can enhance our future as she organized the highly effective Advisory Board for Economic Progress. We've all seen Shelley Welsh unite citizens across borders of color gender, economy, while her opponents make an ugly effort to divide us. Now, we all need to make Shelley Welsh mayor.
This ad has been paid for by Shelley Welsh for mayor, Julie Neiman, treasurer.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. My number 1-877-920-WGNU. I mean, I'll give you an example about how you have to be smart enough to understand human behavior. You have to be smart enough to understand that when a person says something, you should believe them about who they are. Sodexo would have you believe that because they give all of this money to black folks' organizations, that they down with black people. You need to go to www.sodexowatch.info. Because Sodexo that gives all this money to the Martin Luther King stuff also doesn't believe that the N-word is necessarily offensive and is used as a term of endearment by a white coworker when referring to an African-American. That's according to a high-level Sodexo executive in response to questionings during a deposition. An upper-level, check this out, an upper-level white manager at Sodexo said that African-Americans are genetically inferior to whites and that they live like animals and don't deserve to have promotions. Sodexo Senior Vice President and Chief of Diversity Office. Now, remember, if I just go by what Max, the one caller's conclusion was, if I just go by what I can see with people and accept that, I would think that the person that's in head of diversity would never, ever, I'm going to go by all the diverse things that he has done, instead of the fact that he believes referring to African Americans as colored is appropriate and non-offensive at the workplace. That's what the diversity person at Sodexo believes. You got to go by what people say. You got to, and see, here's the thing. And there's such a difference in far too many white people's worldviews about the issue of race. The same white folks that will tell you one strike and you're out, and say, well, you know, you get to say the N-word 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 times till I'm convinced that you're a bigot. You got to say it. I got to. The evidence that folks require of racism and bigotry is evidence that's not required to get somebody on death row. People who want proof of bigotry want a smoking gun. They want a videotape of the gun. They want a mama coming in and saying, I know my son did it. And they want a confession written in blood. Whereas circumstantial evidence gets people on death row every day of the week. Circumstantial evidence is just as valid as a photograph of the crime taking place. It's all evidence. Yeah, Sodexo cares about black people because they give money to the Martin Luther King thing. Really. Really. Try SodexoWatch.info. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. How about you, Charles?
Hi, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Have you heard the take that our illustrious NAACP took on this?
You haven't been listening to my show this morning because I've been clowning talking about things.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Then you know I don't listen to the show. I don't know why I didn't suspect you'd be on top of this.
All right, now.
My goodness, these people they're useless.
They are. What I have said is that they are compromised. They are the weakest NAACP in the nation. You can buy them for a penny and get back change.
He didn't even look comfortable saying what he did
say.
No,
he didn't.
Well, there are black people.
And what I said was, okay, baby, name the case. Say the name. Say it. If you got examples of that, then why haven't you come out on it? Say it.
That's ridiculous.
Say it.
Thanks for your call.
454-0400 is my phone number. D!
Dr. Brown.
Yes, ma'am.
What you think about and accept on a subconscious level will come out of your mouth.
That's a fact.
It is in turn called a Freudian slip.
There you
How
come.
Dare she say that's your opinion?
Mm-hmm.
That's basic of psychology.
That's a fact.
Thank you so much for telling us. Have a good one.
Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. Earl.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, I think he forgot where he was at when he was talking for a moment there.
He got comfortable.
I just wish that the people that's called to defend him would give you that same credibility. I mean, I've never heard you call anyone a racial slur, and the things that you present to her, they're facts. They're not things that you just make up and come on and just make up and tell us about. But you're the biggest racist in town. To some of these callers that call in
and defend it. And then there's a forgiveness that goes to someone who calls a black person a coon. There's forgiveness and understanding, and that was a slip. No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. Because if you listen to the audio, there was no reason for that to even slip. I mean, they was giving Condoleezza a hard time for things they were talking about her. But I don't see where that even fit in any kind of what they were talking about.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. John.
Hi, Liz. You know, I guess it's a sign of progress that white folks are so defensive about being called racist. But to me, I think we just have to admit that we're all tainted with the virus, that we got antibodies in our system. And, you know, I feel like I'm a recovering racist, and I've got sponsors out there, people of color, who, you know, I talk to, who try to, you know, deal with my issues on a day-to-day basis, but it's a one-day-at-a-time thing, and I think white folks should just admit it.
Thanks for your call, John.
Okay, take care.
All right, 454-0400 is my phone number. Car phone.
Hey, Ms. Brown, I'm going to call it bubble gut. You can't hold it in. You got to let it out someday.
There you go. There you go. What's done in the dark comes out in the light. Believe it. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back tomorrow. Stay strong.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air,
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing
the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Some big problems on big boats. At least one person is dead in a fire on a cruise ship in the Caribbean. The fire on the Star Princess, part of the Princess cruise fleet, started in a cabin. It affected three of the ship's 12 decks. 11 people were hurt. Celebrity Cruises, meanwhile, is offering to fly the families of 12 passengers killed in a